We take our seats, we'll call the meeting to order. So, we're going to get the whole roll here, I see. Good evening. Welcome to the June 12, 2012 Morro Bay City Council meeting. This is our budget hearing for the next hour and 45 minutes or so. So we will dispense with the other stuff we usually do at the beginning of the meeting until the regular 6 o'clock meeting. So we're just going to go straight into the budget. We'll hear from Andrea first, then we'll open it up. I'll ask for a show of hands at that time. We're going to limit the time for input. We'll see how many of you want to speak at that time, but we'll start with Andrea first.
Good evening, Mayor, or good afternoon, Mayor and City Council, and I will be turning it over to Ms. Slayton for her presentation.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mayor Yates and Council members. It is my pleasure to present the 2012-2013 proposed budget.
Excuse me, Susan. AGP, can you turn Susan's mic up, please?
When the budget was printed, it was balanced, and we'll go into more detail about the changes in later slides. As far as is two grants that were not awarded, one is the Assistance to the Firefighters grant, which was $193,800, and the Rural Transit grant for a planned vehicle replacement of $73,000. In each case, the corresponding expenditures will not occur. The police department has requested funding for two marked cars, which are listed on the Measure Q request page 103. This request was placed on the A1 list. Commander Millard has been researching a leasing program that is currently used here in the county and is considering funding the initial year of the lease with COPS money, with the balance of lease payments coming from a permanent Measure Q allocation. Lastly, Public Services is beginning a scanning project that will allow public access to our address files. The PD replaced its scanner and offered the old one to other city departments, and Public Services took it and started working with PD's vendor and will be establishing a public portal for viewing address information. To complete the project, however, they do require an additional $15,000 of PEG funds. The loss of the Dynegy money is distressing to the general fund and its reserves. Fortunately, our city manager had the insight to begin weaning the general fund off of that money so that by 2014-15 fiscal year, we would no longer be using any of it to balance our revenues against our expenditures. Now we are faced with a hole in our revenue picture, and while our revenues are getting better, it is not enough to cover this $200,000 loss. As a group, the department head team came up with some alternative sources for council to consider. Council can authorize the use of excess reserves, the general government vehicle replacement money, take a loan from risk management, reallocate some Measure Q funds, or sell some surplus property. Each of these are one-time fixes, but will allow us to continue with the dependency reduction plan. These revenue sources are more continuous in nature, the ones that are on this slide, and produce cash now and into the future. They are parking meters, master fee schedule increases, total cost recovery. These are the alternatives that produce cash the most quickly. Ballot measures such as a utility user's tax, a parcel tax for fire, increased TOT, another sales tax measure, These would produce future and ongoing cash. Council can entertain further reductions in service, and if that is the choice, staff will return with choices and impacts to the community. The one thing that we are not recommending is using the Community Promotion Committee or the Visitor Center funding placeholders.
Can I ask a clarification on that? Do you mean you're not recommending utilizing that to balance the deficit?
Correct. While the loss of the Dynegy Fund funding is distressing to the general fund, it is crippling to the Harbor Department. This money has been included in the Harbor Fund's operational revenue budget, and due to continued lease concessions and the economy, other revenues have not been sufficient to compensate for it. Our new harbor director, Eric Endersby, along with our department head team, came up with alternatives for council's consideration that will provide ongoing cash quickly. Charging for RV overnight parking has been a moneymaker for Avila Beach, and we believe it would produce approximately $130,000 to $150,000 per year. Ending the water subsidy on the piers and docks will provide approximately $10,000 to $15,000. Parking meters installed along the Embarcadero, in the lots, and at street ends, increasing master fees, and recognizing lease fees from currently unutilized sites will produce cash. However, the amount of that cash is unknown at this time. A loan from the general fund would also produce one-time money. Other alternatives are cost recovery for negligence and or non-emergency tows at $5,000 to $10,000 per year. Renting equipment and selling food at the Rock is an alternative that fits in with other beach communities. Council could reassess the harbor business manager position, and if that is chosen, staff would bring back a report. Lastly, Measure Q money could be reallocated to the harbor. This concludes my portion of the presentation, and I'd like to hand this over to Andrea for further comment on the Dynegy situation.
I have a couple additional notes. We have staff more of a probability of receiving a month-to-month payment for the outfall after January, but again, we're not certain. So our recommendation in terms of the Harbor Fund loss is to provide a temporary loan to the Harbor Fund from the General Fund Reserve and allow staff to implement several of the revenue-generating recommendations found in Ms. Slayton's presentation. We do look for Council's specific direction on which revenue-generating options you would like us to pursue. That's my brief presentation, and I think I'll turn it back over to City Council.
Council, before we open it up, Carla? Nancy? George? Noah? How many of you want to speak? Can I have hands? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We want to keep this to like 20 minutes. If you can, you could all do 3 minutes, and we'll go 21 minutes. But if you can, you know, keep it down, because usually my experience is if I get 7 hands, there's really 12 of you who want to speak. So if you could keep it to a minute or two, that would be great. Who would like to go first? No rush. Take your time. Michelle, good evening.
I'm here today. My name is Michelle Hawkes. I'm here as representing myself. I do sit on the TBID as vice chair. I just want to remind this council, I know you guys are under a lot of pressure with budgets, but I want to remind you that the TBID has always been big picture minded. You asked us several months ago to look at the big picture of marketing, and we have done that, which is why I am urging you tonight to please not take any money from the current promotions that you're putting to the city. I believe economic development is very, very important. Don't get me wrong, but I think you need to find that money from somewhere else, and please continue marketing the city. We are a revenue source, and we're seeing that by TOT increases. You have to make money. You have to spend money to make money. So by you putting in about $116,000, you're going to see that money come back. It is a return on your investment, and it's an immediate return. I understand the economy is coming back. Everybody doesn't want to give credit for marketing and promotions, but it's the same thing with economic development. As the economy goes up, our economy is going to go up together. We have to all work together on this. So I just am urging you to please continue the partnership that we've had. The hoteliers, as a hotelier speaking here, they have really pushed this process. We've been trying to be patient with this process, and now I feel like if the money is pulled out from under us, we have to go back and really look at the entire big picture, because now we're having $116,000 less is a lot of money for a $500,000 budget. So I urge you today to please don't put this economic development versus hotel promotions, which is the latest thing today. Please put this all money together for promoting the city of Morro Bay. It's a huge tourist destination. We've got the ball running and rolling, and we'd like to continue running down that hill. So we hope for your partnership. Thank you.
Thanks, Michelle. Who'd like to go next? You guys usually aren't this shy. Hi, Susan.
We are shy. Hello. Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor and council members. My name is Susan Stewart. I'm a business owner, 24-year resident, and member of the Chamber Board. CEO Craig Schmidt is out of town and asked me to say a few words about the proposed economic development program. City leaders across California are recognizing that they must address the economic vitality of their communities. As a council, you have the possibility of leaving a legacy with the establishment of a strong economic development program in a partnership between the city and chamber. With the foresight and support of the hotel industry, the city of Morro Bay has created a healthy influx of funds for the promotion of tourism and tourist-serving businesses in the town. A tourism director will help ensure that those funds are spent wisely and efficiently. During formal and informal discussions with members of the tourism board, the chamber has offered to help with the transition through services, shared space, training at the visitor center, and anything else that keeps us moving forward in our tourism promotions. We now have the opportunity to address the rest of our economic base and look to strengthen existing businesses and solicit new, viable ones that enhance Morro Bay. The markers of success are simple: number of jobs created, especially head of household jobs, number of jobs and businesses saved, and an increase in sales tax revenue. The intangibles are in the creation of healthy and vibrant business districts, which in turn benefit our local families as well as tourists and tourism businesses. After comments from council and discussions with tourism board members, we have reevaluated our initial proposal and have revised our budget. By eliminating the community development portion, we believe that we can launch an effective program with $80,000 of general fund money. Of this, approximately $40,000 would go to a part-time economic development director, $30,000 for support staff and services, and $10,000 for office expenses, marketing, publications, collateral development, and grant applications. As part of this program, we would establish a partnership with the Cuesta College,
working with the EVC as the program manager for the Economic Strategy Project. I'm really here as a resident and someone who has a vested interest in the success of our community. And I just wanted to share, you know, we have had the opportunity to work closely with the Uniquely Slow Cluster, which is our food, wine, and tourism sector. And you have to acknowledge the fabulous job that they've done with partnering with Savor the Central Coast and with Sunset Magazine, working with our local T-Bids. They've done an amazing job, and the economic impacts of that have been substantial. At the same time, when we did the deep analysis of our economy, there were 6 clusters of industry identified as opportunities for job growth. And specifically in Morro Bay, many of those head of household jobs come from other industries. So I just would encourage you to support a diversified economy here in Morro Bay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Christine. Israel, good evening. Welcome.
Good afternoon, City Council. I'm Israel Dominguez. I'm the director of the Business and Entrepreneurship Center. And essentially, I'm here to really speak on support of economic development. My entire role and that of the center is to provide economic development. And that takes in the form of advanced consulting services to business and industry in just a few areas such as marketing strategies, marketing research, access to capital, e-commerce, economic research, business and contract law, international trade, financial analysis, operations management, and a host of other things. In this fiscal year, this is real economic impact. I'll just give you some numbers. We've offered approximately 34 workshops and seminars, which 1,770 business owners have attended. Okay, that's 70 hours of training. Of that, we've also assisted 233 business owners, individual business owners, With the result of that assistance, along with 170 hours of direct consulting services, we have been able to assist businesses in creating 30 jobs, saving 10,412 jobs, have assisted businesses increase their sales by over $10 million. We have also been able to increase business value for other reasons, such as exports and or imports or government contracts, to the tune of over $14 million. That's substantial economic impact. And this is the kind of things that partnering with an organization such as ours and others can do for this city. Thank you.
Thank you, Israel. Chris? Nice tie, Chris.
Mr. Mayor and Mrs. Councilman, Chris Christensen, local resident and president of the local Chamber of Commerce. I really wasn't going to come down and speak tonight, but I realized I had a little time before I'm on my way over to the high school to present some scholarships to the local high school students that have expressed a need and a desire to excel in their education. And I wanted to share with you, before I went over there, a couple of the essays that I actually got from those students and why we selected them. And it's interesting, but all three of them hit very highly on their interest in business in the community. And my interest tonight in expressing these to you and sharing them with you is to encourage you to continue to support the economic development proposal that we're bringing before you for the Chamber of Commerce and what we hope to do with this community in the future in economic development. This is a letter from one of the local students that's going to be a recipient of a scholarship. Her name is Carly Robson. I'm very interested in business because the business degree, you can do almost any kind of job. Business is one of the most important degrees to have because our society is based around economics. Business is all about economics and about the job force. The economy and the way it is today, the smartest job path is to go into business. Since every job out there is based on business, it's the best degree to get in this economy. Since jobs are scarce these days and are very direct in a certain degree, business is related to every job in one way or another. She goes on a couple more paragraphs. I don't want to bore you with too much of it and take up too much of your time. But she just accentuates what we already know, that business is important to the community, and the Chamber of Commerce, your Chamber of Commerce, has been an advocate for small businesses and large businesses in this community for years. We continue to do so. We will continue to do so. We would like to have the funding that we're seeking today to do a better job in focusing on economic development. The last essay is from another recipient, and she says just simply, local businesses are what hold our society together. Because of my parents, I've become very involved in the community and have come to personally know local business owners. My mother's always embraced local buying and spending and has made her place in the community. Because of my parents owning their own businesses, I have been inspired to make a path for myself in the business world. My future goals are to run my own cattle ranch, which requires the knowledge of owning a business aside from the agricultural part. Attending Cuesta College and majoring in business will greatly help my chances for success in the future. This is our future, our children, and we put our money on those children. The Chamber continues to support those and will. We're just looking for your support to help us focus more on economic development. Thank you for your consideration.
Thanks, Chris. Who'd like to go next? Hello, John.
Hello, Mayor. Business people, a CEO with economic development expertise, and its professional support staff are suited for this task. Both members and non-members would benefit from this economic development plan. The proposal before you combines years of experience and face-to-face resources of our community. Morro Bay has about 500 businesses. We want them to prosper. We want the vacancies filled so that we can benefit when we shop locally. The benefits of a healthy and vibrant chamber go beyond its members and fully extend to every business in Morro Bay. Not only will healthy businesses bring increased tax revenues to the city, which of course we're discussing and considering today in the budget, our citizens will be able to keep our local economy strong, resulting in improved city services. I wish you all well and a good business decision for Morro Bay. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Hi, Joan.
Hi, Bill. Good afternoon, Mayor and City Council. I trust that you are all well. My name is Joan Solu, and I'm here representing the City of Morro Bay as the Morro Bay Tourism Business Improvement District Advisory Board Chair. I've been asked by the board to follow the motions from our special meeting that took place today to discuss the 116,850 in general fund monies that has traditionally been allocated to marketing the city of Morro Bay as a destination. The MBT bid was created in the belief that tourism is essential to the economic health and quality of life of this community. After quite a bit of discussion today, five members of the board took four votes. The first vote was split. Working as a team, we were able to come back to you this evening with three unanimous recommendations for allocation of the 116,850 in general fund money. Our recommendations for a proposed budget is before you and has been provided for the record to Jamie. Motion number one, motion to support an economic development plan. The TBID recommends that the city council to the city council that the economic development plan be developed through an RFP process whereby the city would hire a consultant that would evaluate economic development programs, assess local economic conditions, and analyze market opportunities in order to design strategic plans for future economic growth and development within the city. 5-0, unanimous. Motion 2, subject to city funding the TBID with additional general fund monies. The TBID recommends that the TBID board be expanded to 9 members with 2 additional members from the visitor service industry. 5-0 vote. Motion 3, that the TBID recommends to the City Council that the economic development program be funded from sources outside the CPC funds of 116.8, such as the additional revenue generated from the increased coffers of TOT. If the City Council decides to fund the economic development program from the CPC fund of 116.8, then the TBID board recommends that the CPC fund be split 50-50 to TBID and 50% to an economic development program, the 50% allocated to the TBID and any additional sums allocated to TBID from CPC account or general fund will be dedicated to destination local marketing. 5-0 vote. Team effort. In closing, please allow me a moment to state that Council has done a good job of working through difficult economic times and has made many fiscal changes to operations through a partnership with city staff and the public-private sector, such as the TBID. The TBID has been able to provide the city with general fund relief through $150,000 in increased revenue to the general fund from TOT collections just this year alone. There has also been an approximate 6.8% increase in sales tax revenue. In large part, this is due to tourism marketing efforts. Tourism is a major economic contributor. It has the ability, if supported, to increase the city's financial stability and create a viable economic future. I will remain in case you have questions. Thank you.
Thank you, John. We've got about 8 minutes left. How many people left? Oh, we're doing great. Come on up, Dr. Bob.
Good evening. Good evening, Mayor, Council members. Bob Swain, business owner and a resident. I walk around town a lot lately, and all I see is vacancies for sale, not for sale, vacancies for lease signs. And to me, as a newcomer into town, it's very disappointing because I moved to Morro Bay hopefully to prosper, maybe turn my house over to my kids. They can move here, enjoy, and have a nice life. But with vacancies, the town looks like it's kind of like a tomato dying on the vine. And I think we need a good economic plan to keep the business here open so that when tourists come into town, they have a reason to come here. It's all right to come here and stay, but what are they going to do? They have no business to shop at. We need to make sure they have something to come here for. So I feel it's very important that we don't eliminate one or the other. We need both to work on this general, you know, the tourism's got to come, but we need businesses here for the tourists to shop. And if the business is our own town, to keep our own businesses going, and that's what we need to look forward to. So thank you very much, and I hope you consider all the benefits of keeping everything going. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob. Anyone else? Anybody? Going once? Going twice? Thank you. And thank you for your succinctness, and thanks for your comments. I guess it was 100% about TBID, Chamber of Economic Development, and of course, we're trying to address the whole budget. I'm sorry that we didn't get comments, beyond that sphere, but we appreciate the comments that we got. Who would like to begin?
Well, how would you like to organize the conversation?
Well, go ahead, begin. We'll each...
What would you,
usual, we'll
What would you like to focus on first, as far as staff's recommendations, some of the specifics in the document?
Why don't we start with this issue right here?
The economic development?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I heard the comments tonight, and I was able to review most of the TBID meeting today. And definitely hear the frustration from the TBID. And I understand this hasn't been, this process has been painful, and there has been a lot of passion involved, because I think both sides do bring a lot to the community, and obviously what the TBID has been able to do is a great thing for Morro Bay. And throughout this process, anything that has been said from my side, I think from the council, wasn't in a way to disrespect either party. In the last meeting, I came out very much in favor of focusing the CPC funds on economic development. I think that it's essential for many of the reasons that were stated here tonight about diversifying our economy, balancing the support of not only the hotels but other businesses in the community, and really focusing in on some of the things that we've talked about doing but have never really been able to fund or support in a way that makes sense and has follow-through. So tonight, after listening to the TBIDS meeting and talking to some of the hoteliers, I'm appreciative that they're talking about some sort of potential reduction and recognizing our challenge with the Dynegy funds. Personally, I'm inclined to go with something along the lines of $75,000 to the economic development and the remainder to marketing and promotions. I like the idea of the regional local marketing component. I think that's important, and it offers a considerable value to the community and to the economic development program. I would hope that they would work together on that. So I'm going to stay in support in that way. I also think it's important for us to recognize that tonight we're not saying we're going to adopt a specific plan for economic development. It's a concept at this point, and we need to make sure that going forward we move fairly quickly to develop the measurements of success for the economic development plan. That's going to be a very important part of this, because everyone in the community needs to see improvements and benefits from this program because we are using taxpayer dollars. So I think I'll stop with that.
Your case is stated in 75-40, basically, is what you're saying, George.
Well, it goes back to the same old thing that people have been talking about you for years, and you've heard it mentioned. Build it, and they will come. Well, in Morro Bay, we were very fortunate that God built it. We already built. We got a beautiful area here. And naturally, we want our business to thrive, and we want new businesses to come in here. But what we have to do right now is let more people know about Morro Bay. And the more people come in, that's the more money that's going to be brought in. And when business people see a lot of movement out on the streets of Morro Bay, they're going to say, you know what, I want part of that. So you're going to see the economy come here. And I believe that we are trying to get the horse in front of the buggy again here, and that we need to bring in the money first, and then the economy will come. And I believe that the TBIT situation here has got a great plan. And it looks like to me that the money they're going to be using early, they will not have to use as much later. So as they use a lot of money now, they'll come down, and maybe the economical people can come up. So I'm a firm believer that we really need to promote this town. A lot of people know about it, but there's a lot of people that don't. And we need to get the word out here.
Just so I can keep score, you've got 75-40, you've got a number in mind? There's 100?
The county EBC meetings. I've seen a lot happen on the county level at EVC. I've suggested many times that our economic development plan here needs to mirror that, needs to take some of the ideas that they have and put them to work. None of these things have happened. I'm sorry to disagree with some of you, but I do not believe that mixers are a real member benefit. I don't see a real business model with specific steps, measures of success, and I think the thing we really need is an RFP to find somebody who can get this done. I've asked for it several times. It hasn't happened. There's still the question of the visitor center. You know, where is that going? Maybe we need an RFP for that. At this point, I'm not going to attach any dollar signs to what I've said. I think one of the other things that is really, I've noticed last week and this week, is some of the extremely negative response from the chamber. I felt that I'm a chamber member, and I got my newsletter, and I thought the front cover in red, where they say that the city delayed their important funds when we hadn't even planned to allocate any funds at that point. And then this week, the chamber versus TBID, I don't like what I see happening. And as I say, I'm not ready to come up with any numbers right now. I'm just going to try to listen with an open mind.
Okay, it's my goal here, though, to nail down the number.
I know it is.
Okay, Carla, so I'm coming back to you.
Nail down the number. Yes, creating divisiveness has certainly been an issue that this has caused. And the unfortunate thing is we have $22 million in expenses to worry about tonight, and we're caught up on how we're going to split up $116,000. So for me, you know, we could put it all back in the general fund and use it for a shortage. But that being said, part of my concern that we haven't talked about either is at what point, if we determine that we're going to partially fund the economic development, because for me there's no plan yet, and that's a little challenging to fund something that doesn't have a plan that actually is been presented, is we're going to be double funding the chamber in the meantime, because they still have a six-month contract to run the visitor center. And so when one of the positions, and I'll just use Hank, was a Hank because he works there, and I believe he's already funded through the visitor center. If we put this in place for that position again, then are we double funding the next 6 months?
Susan?
Question. I mean, that to me is what that says, basically. They're asking for $30,000 for that position for the year, and so the next 6 months, $15,000 of that would be going to a position that, in essence, they've included in their funding for the visitor center.
Right. And at this point, the visitor center money hasn't necessarily been allocated. It's sort of up in the air.
But we've agreed to spend the next 6 months. Obviously,
correct.
There's going to be an allocation. So I'm raising that point right now as we move into the visitor center contract also, and what money we allocate there. So we're not double funding someone. I think that's really important to remember.
So we've allocated the 30 till the end of the year, right? Yeah, good point, Carla. That's spent. That's committed. And now we're backing up to now to how to fund for the next year. So good point. Good point.
Yes, sir.
If, in fact, council puts whatever dollar amounts they put into an economic development plan, staff would come back immediately with whether you wanted us to directly negotiate a contract with Chamber for that, which would lay out exactly what they were going to do for those funds, or whether to go out for an RFP, or you could make that decision, I suppose, tonight, just to direct staff to immediately start those negotiations. But we'd have to bring a contract back before we just start giving that extra money, so that it would be allocated exactly for the economic development plan and not overlap the visitor center money.
Okay. Thank you for that information. I don't know how, and it's not my concern, obviously, the chamber plans to hire, based on the qualifications they put out, someone to run an economic program for $40,000 a year with the criteria they put there. Nobody would ever take a part-time job, and so I'm a little apprehensive about how that funding is going to pay $40,000 to me, says you're going to get somebody who graduated from Cal Poly and doesn't have a job yet in that field.
And as Carl has pointed out, and as I pointed out earlier, you know, we've got a $22 million budget. We're already 45 minutes into our two-hour hearing, and one item that's really a speck in this whole budget, and we're not addressing the budget. So I'm going to go along with Carl and Nancy and split it down the middle, ask you guys to go along with that. Carl is suggesting $50,000, take the other $16,000, put it back in the budget. That's what you're going for? Okay, so I'll go with that. Can I get you guys to go along with that?
Well, I believe we're really crippling TBIT here. You know, we voted to back them on this thing, and now we're really backpedaling. I mean, I don't believe this. They're going to be stripped of at least $30,000 of less money than they need. They're not going to get this thing off the ground. We're going to be in the same position we are right now. I think with the economy, with the way the chamber hasn't even got going here yet, why are we thinking about funding them to a plan they don't even have? TBIT's got a plan. We accepted their plan, and now we are backpedaling. They need the money to get going right now to bring people into this town.
Did George sway anybody?
Well, I want to point out, because George didn't sway me, I know that the TBID does have a plan, and they've been implementing it for a number of years, and there's some significant transitions happening. At the same time, we've never given economic development a chance in this town, and as has been said, we need to diversify this. Some of us have successful businesses, but you look around and there's a lot of businesses that are struggling and others that would love to come in and start but see the atmosphere and the climate and pull back because of it. So what we're talking about is $116,000, which isn't a lot in the big picture, but it makes a difference because it has to do with revenues and revenue generation. And we have, besides our efforts with the TBID, we have done so little in this town to support that side of the equation that this is a very important discussion. And if we feel like we're trying to rush this tonight to get through this two-hour hearing, then that we shouldn't be approaching it that way. We can actually schedule additional hearings as necessary. I don't think we necessarily need to do that. I'd be willing to consider the 50-50 split if that additional 16,850 was also put into the economic development. I think that's, we're going to need to work within the rest of the budget to find a way to balance it with the loss of revenue. And that 16,000, what I don't want to do is start folding that in and then basically lose it for promotions or economic development, which is a really key component to bringing people to town and to supporting the businesses. So I would suggest that either we table this discussion and come back to it after we've looked through the budget more, because that might be some of the hesitancy to make the decision on the additional 16, and we move further into the budget and talk about it that way. But I completely disagree that this is crippling the TBIT. I think we're supporting it. We've got additional ideas coming forward to help the hotel industry.
You're repeating yourself. George, I'm going to submit that you're probably going to make the opposite argument and take the 15 and put it to TBIT. So then we're right back where we started from. We've got this and we've got this. So I'm going to look down here.
How about a motion?
Go for it.
I move approval of $100,000 of promotion CPC money to be divided equally between the Chamber of Commerce Economic Development Program and the TBIDS promotional program as presented.
Second.
Discussion.
Yes. You're going to see a lot more businesses fold around here if you don't do something. I tell you that right now. If you don't get this TBIT thing going on with a great plan they got going, you're not going to see this economical plan they've got ahead along for in the future. But you're going to see businesses close right now. We need to move on this right away. And I thought that's what it was all about. That's why we were moving so fast to bring in to bring TBIT up to this and to bring in their director of tourism or whatever we're calling that person that's going to promote Morro Bay. Well, you just crippled them. I tell you that right now. You crippled them really bad. And I'm afraid you're going to just watch not the economy grow around here. You're going to see it go backwards.
I would support this if it included that $16,850 into economic development, but as it's proposed, I won't.
And that leaves me. This is tough. I'm not going to support it. You know, George makes a point. I would, you know, I'm going to go reverse of Noah and say put the other 15 in with T-bid and
shorten T-bid.
Well, I'm trying to make this make everybody happy here, and we're not making anybody happy, but we're allocating as best we can. All in favor, say aye. Aye. Opposed.
No.
Motion passes 4-1. I'm sorry.
I had a question.
Well, that's 4-1. Yeah.
I had a question regarding this. Going forward, we need to talk then about how this contract is going to be decided with the economic development program.
So we don't have to do that now.
Yes, but I'm just confirming that.
Yes. We'll come back. Yeah.
And then, of course, every year we can revisit these funds and adjust as necessary.
Council can do whatever they want in the future. Okay, how do you want to attack this? By department, again, as we've done in the past? Then let's we'll start on page 9, then. Page 9. Anybody have any problem with the city council budget? It's not enough, right? We don't get paid enough. Page 10, city manager, city clerk. Any problem there? I'm just going to go through this, so speak up when you have notes. Contract services. Everybody okay with that? Elections department. Community promotions committee. Oh, we're backing up to elections.
Yes. Is that going to be amended then, since we won't be needing the remainder of that expense?
Are you on community promotions?
No, I'm on elections. Because it's $10,000 in the off years, and then $20,000 for the election year. So, since we won't be having
Susan?
A secondary,
we'll save some, but we won't save. It won't. We don't know exactly what the total's going to be. So, whatever we save, we'll just absorb back into the general fund. But I don't believe we know how much we're going to save.
Okay.
Do you want to make issue with it?
No.
Okay. Page 13, Community Promotions Committee, I guess that we've just dealt with that. Visitor Center, I guess we've dealt with that. We're at City.
No.
For funding?
No. I have a question.
Okay, shoot.
Under interfund transfers out, there isn't anything. What does that mean?
Where are you at?
On proposed annual budget for Visitor Center.
Okay, there aren't any proposed transfers out. So that would be if we were going to transfer money from another fund into the Visitor Center or transfer money from the Visitor Center to another fund, and we're not.
Okay, and the other question on that page, going down towards the bottom, will TBID still be paying $25,000 in support of Visitor Center, or has that changed?
I'll let Andrea answer that one.
I believe that at the a meeting ago, at the TBID meeting, their indication was that they were going to continue to fund that $25,000 for a six-month period. And I think the TBID members are gone. But that was my recollection, and I actually think that might have been a motion.
Then I have a question, because the budget reflects them paying $50,000, because the budget's reflected at $152,490 for the year. But if they're only paying for 6 months of it, where's the other $25,000 coming from? It seems that it would be $127,490 because the second half of the year isn't funded. And this is looking at it for the year.
Right, but the first $25,000 is paid to a third party after January 1st if the T-bid is actually running the visitor center, we wouldn't write a, TBID wouldn't write a check to themselves because there's no third party anymore running the visitor center. I think that's what their thinking was.
Well, that's not what it says. I don't know what their thinking is, but it doesn't
the,
say.
Well, that's where the 25 instead of 50,000 comes from, because it's only for 6 months. After 6 months, we don't no longer have a contract with Chamber. It might change if, in fact, another third party ran the visitor center. But if the TBID is actually running the visitor center, they would absorb those costs within their budget and wouldn't be paying for the visitor center. Does that make sense?
Yes, but to me, it's still reflecting that they are paying it into. So $152,490 is going to be split the first 6 months to the chamber and then the next 6 months to the TBID. Is that the intent?
I have no idea what the second contract's going to look like, how much that'll pay or what. We haven't even discussed that with the TBID.
But that's my concern about the first contract is, again, now we're overlapping by doing the economic development and the visitor center contract for the next 6 months transition. So
something I'd like to add is that we had talked about $100,000 in funding for the visitor center, and the idea that we will likely see a significant change in the cost of operations of the visitor center because of some of the ideas that the hoteliers and the new promotions and visitor center are going to be bringing forward to us. So I would expect that we're going to see that number change. And is this, Ms. Luger, mostly a placeholder at this point?
I guess that's a fair statement. I think the probably the glaring in the page is maybe a little bit confusing, but probably the most important thing that you need to know is on this page, the allocation of general fund money is approximately $102,000. And the thought you've extended a couple of meetings ago, you extended by motion the contract to move ahead with the visitor center, the chamber, to run the visitor center for 6 months until December 31st. So you're really dealing with $102,490 of general fund, and there was a $50,000 transfer contemplated. 25 for the first 6 months, and we're not sure what happens for the following 6 months, but that's not money that's not general fund money. So I guess the short answer to your question is that really you're looking at $100,000 of general fund money that you need to, is that, do you want to have that go towards visitor center this year or not? And then the TBID is going to have to make the decision after December 31st how they're going to handle the allocation that they provided in the past.
So it's $100,000 for 6 months?
No. That's what
you have a total you have a total of $102,000 for the year of general fund money that's allocated on this page. You've indicated that your contract with the chamber is going to go through December 31st. After that point, you'll have another contract. So you've got the full amount here. You're still looking at a year. It depends on how you're going to do that.
You're guaranteeing us then that the first 6 months are not going to exceed $51,000 of that $102,000 to be utilized by the chamber. Okay.
I think your existing contract with the chamber indicates the total amount for 12 months. So a half a contract would be $50,000. Yes.
Okay. Back to the question: are we okay now on this page with that explanation? Are you all right over here? Okay, city attorney, any problems with that page? Finance? I'm on 16 now. Human resources, page 17. Information services, page 18.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Just as we're moving into looking at the $200,000 shortfall from the Dynegy contract, I'd like to bring up again the idea of looking into what it would save us in outsourcing our IT services. We have one person that runs that department, and if that one person were to leave or not be able to work for a month, I mean, we would have nobody managing our services versus a company potentially that we could outsource that, PISMO and some other areas have done. And I don't know if we could do that at a cost savings. I would hope it would be at less money. So I'd like to keep that as an option to look at.
I would submit that we want to go ahead and budget this, and
right.
if you want to bring that back
it.
And look at that, that we can do that.
Okay,
so we all right with that? Police Department. I have a feeling we're going to stop at this page, unless nobody has a problem with it. Police Department. Wow. Oh, wait a minute. Go ahead, Nancy.
I'm not sure if this is the right point at which to ask this question, but the question has arisen with our school officer. What it's paid, you know, the SRO is paid 75% by the school district, and we know they're having financial difficulties too. What happens if, in fact, they pull their 75%? That's going to make a big impact on our numbers.
Who wants to answer that? I can take it, you know, whoever, the three of us. Go ahead, Andrea.
Talk to the superintendent. They passed their budget on June 5th. He indicated that the budget, that their recommendation was to approve that position. I haven't heard back from him, so my assumption is that that was passed.
Okay, good.
There is some question about 13-14 and what happens at the state level with those, but it appears at this point that 75% of the SRO has been funded.
So we're okay for 12-13?
We're upcoming, yes, you're correct, for the upcoming year.
Okay, thank you.
Can I ask a follow-up question?
Please.
So what would happen in a scenario where they had to pass an emergency budget reduction? We would also then be able to do that.
How is that going to be adjusted out now then? It's just we're not, there's no in, there's no out? Okay.
Yeah, you won't have the revenue and you won't have the expenditures and they match.
So everybody's okay on fire department? More or less. That's yes. EOC disaster preparedness, that's pretty tiny. Public services, everybody okay? Then, you know, street lighting, curbside recycling, rec and parks, page 26.
Yes, I have a question about the street lighting. I'm interested to know if there's any initiatives planned for energy efficiency retrofits to also be worked on this year.
Joe?
Because I bring that up just to say, you look at the cost of our street lighting over the last 4 years, and it's just continually going up because the cost of energy is going up. I'm not aware, well, this last year we did see that dip, but I'm not aware of any further plans to continue with energy efficiency and the lighting, and I just wanted to hear if that's in the
works. Energy efficiency lighting that we've been addressing has been park lighting and walkway lighting and staircase lighting. I do have a proposal to bring to the city manager this Friday regarding some larger light standards that we can propose to PG&E for changing out street lighting. It's not in our purview. It's a utility controlled lighting that's on the streets, and this is the funding that pays for that lighting.
So it'd be you're saying larger. What does that mean? Is it more efficient?
There'd be LED lighting that we'd propose, and it would be up to the utility company to make that decision.
We okay on curbside recycling? And we're back to page 21, recreation and parks. Any problem here? Any comments here? Go ahead. You've got a green thing on your page. Oh, that's recreation and parks, sports, page 27. Go ahead, Nancy. Page 28, youth and teen programs. Page 29.
Actually, could I just ask a quick question about that? In here, there's in the notes, they talk about reduction of about $20,000 in revenues due to reduced attendance. And I was interested to know if Mr. Woods has some ideas about how we may be addressing that, hopefully to increase attendance and make strategic shifts if necessary?
Certainly. Thanks for the question, Councilman Smuckler. We are currently addressing a fiscal sustainability analysis using an intern from Humboldt State. We're reviewing all of our programs and services and how we deliver those services. We're evaluating the cost and the fees, as well as if there are programs that are viable for us to continue with. So the study will be done here in about, this is his second weekend, so we've got another 8 weeks before we finish the program, and we'll be presenting that to the Recreation Parks Commission. We'll also be addressing the marketing strategies on those programs and services that we'll be retaining.
And you'll be looking at facilitation of the programs as well?
Yeah, how we deliver them. We're looking at partnership, a new partnership policy, as well as a sponsorship policy to help subsidize programs that may need a little bit more revenue enhancement.
Okay, and then as far as obviously some of the programs do require some subsidies, like the Kids Club and the camp and so on, you wouldn't make any changes to the structure without coming back to us just to make sure that if we're in favor of continuing those programs, there wouldn't be significant changes without the council being involved?
You're absolutely correct. A significant change would be brought back for you, to you, but we are certainly reviewing our cost recovery program and analysis of which programs fit in which cost recovery and if it's still appropriate. It's been about 8 years since it's been reviewed, so we feel that a cost recovery program should be reviewed right now, and if it's significant, that'll be brought forward in the RPC review before it comes to council.
Okay. In the instance of the Kids Club and the Kids Camp, though, because it's such an essential program for working families, you wouldn't raise those prices without consulting us, or is there a potential that you would implement the cost recovery program on those two specific programs without the council's involvement?
No. Those fees aren't tied to the master fee schedule. And they
wondering, we have how many people, Jody? All right, don't laugh. I know we do.
What do you think of it?
Yes, yeah, sure. Maintenance. You have street maintenance division and parks maintenance division. How many people are in each division when you look at personnel?
When you look at personnel, it is split up. There are percentages that go into this equation. So in streets division, you're looking at two individuals.
What I'm wondering, though, is, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, just don't want to spend too much time on this. So is that two bodies who are dedicated to street maintenance, or do park maintenance and street maintenance people work together other than the emergency we had a couple weeks ago?
The latter would be true, that this is a consolidated maintenance effort, and that due to budgeting purposes, we have them in allocated spots. But as far as the operational goes, they're consolidated. We do the best we can. Whatever emergency happens, we consolidate that crew.
Okay, so on a general everyday basis, though, they're consolidated maintenance people. I mean, they may all work on streets one day. They may all do parks another day, depending on where the need is. Is that true?
It is partially true that we basically break them into a core duties, and so they are in those particular divisions within the core. So morning duties, there are basic duties they would perform, and then more than likely in the afternoon they would consolidate for a project effort.
Thank you.
I have a couple of questions on that.
Go ahead.
Under services, that $62,000, most of that is the street sweeper?
That's correct.
So we had talked about the idea of reducing the street sweeper contract. Can we ask that that comes back in these proposals that we're going to be looking over in the next hearing?
I'll send it back to Mr. Woods. I believe that's going to PWAB. I don't think it's gone as you directed to go to PWAB first. I'm not sure when it's going to PWAB.
It's going to PWAB next week for their discussion.
Okay. I've conducted enough outreach in the public that I'm confident that we can move forward with asking for a presentation of information of what it would cost and save to reduce the street sweeping contract. The comments that you hear all the time is the street sweeper in areas where we have poor streets is basically sweeping the potholes throughout the neighborhoods, and I think there might be some room for us to have some savings there.
I am not sure this is where I want to see savings, because not speaking with people on the street, but talking to the people down at the estuary program. The street sweeping is very important because this is the first line of defense from things like gasoline, oil and gas that leak under the streets getting into the estuary. And I think at $62,000, this is probably something we do not want to look at cutting.
I would just comment that there are other ways for us to help minimize oils and other contaminants flowing into the water bodies. And what I'm suggesting is we continue the street sweeper in areas like the business districts with curb and gutter, but in neighborhoods with no curb and gutter and a lot of need in their streets, that we consider reducing it there.
I would disagree with you totally, but I do not believe this is the time for a debate, so I think we should move on and discuss it at another time.
Agree.
So unless we're going to pull it out, of,
pull it out of the budget, this isn't the time, because we can bring it back. But I will share with you that I'm not supportive of it either. I think the town as a whole is supportive of keeping our streets swept. And, you know, in the past, we've cut this contract back, and it's backfired on us. And it doesn't take very long for the streets to get out of hand.
So we'll let this proceed through the PUAB then.
I would say part of it is a requirement for our storm drain management plan, too. So we're mandated for some of it.
We have choices within that plan. There's other ways we can address those needs.
Let's back up.
Yeah, actually,
the streets. I'll take it. Go ahead. Let's finish.
I just wanted to finish, Joe, with how you allocate staff time. If we do want to pursue more aggressive street repairs, we can ask that you highlight and prioritize street repairs above other duties that those staff might have beyond, you know, emergency and very essential duties, and that would be something that we could do within the existing budget.
We would do our best to reallocate those resources based on your priorities, without a doubt.
Okay, great.
And then my comment is you have a total of $225,000 basically going to streets, right?
Correct.
That's $1,250,000.
When they have removed trees, they're still, I believe, paying us $50, which is not covering replacement costs, and I would submit that we require a much larger reimbursement to cover those costs.
This is on our agenda. It's on the agenda planning guide. This is, I would submit, not a budgetary hearing.
But I don't want to lose track of that.
That's fine. It's on the, you get copies of the agenda tracking guides, it's on there. So if it's on there, we're not going to lose track of it. When you see something,
well, I'd like to address it so we can actually start to recoup those costs.
Let's address it at the appropriate time. 35, storm drains, creek clearing. Disappointing too, but I know we don't have any money. Facilities maintenance, page 36. Nothing? Vehicle maintenance, page 37. Transfer page, page 38. Pretty easy this coming year. Page 39 is left intentionally blank. Does that put us through all the departments? It does, doesn't it? Yeah. We're at Measure Q, page 41. Carla, you have a problem here? Not yet. Nancy?
Later.
Well, let's address it.
I'll say at this point there's a lot of money that in Measure Q funding, taxpayer dollars, that has not been put to work, and the fund is sitting there, that money there, because it's not getting into the projects it was allocated to.
Well, let's address Measure, how about addressing Measure Q right now? That's where we're at. We can, you know, jump around on it however you want. Well, we haven't discussed Harbor yet. We're not through all the departments. All right, we'll come back to Measure Q. I take it back. T-bid. I think we've addressed that. Vehicle replacement fund. And we have staff, you know, and part of their request is to use $131,000 in vehicle replacement fund, which is basically all of it. Yes? No?
No, the recommendation is to use approximately $27,000 of the vehicle replacement funds.
I'm sorry, I'm reading it right here. Dynergy revenue loss. Use of vehicle replacement funds, $131,000.
That's the total amount available. I'm sorry, in my verbal presentation, I indicated it was $27,000.
Well,
but you could certainly use
$131,000
of it. I don't want to stop you.
And then, so you're saying $27,000 total?
You're correct.
Yet I'm reading $127,131, so I'm confused.
They're suggesting using 27 out of that total.
To balance the budget. I got you. Okay, we'll start with, who wants to start? Carla? Noah? Noah, George? Nancy?
Leave
all right, we're going to come back to the Dynergy revenue loss then, right? We'll keep that on the list. Emergency reserve fund, same thing.
Well, and that, again, I would say is not reflected accurately either. So we can come back to that when we get ready to do the shortage.
Yep. We'll just run down that list. Reserves, vehicle replacement, risk management, Measure Q, sale of surplus property. Facility maintenance fund, page 49. Water equipment replacement fund, page 51. Sewer equipment replacement fund, page 53. Harbor equipment replacement fund.
I have a question.
Shoot.
On equipment and vehicles, $224,000 is for a new patrol boat, which you desperately need. Is that true?
Affirmative. That number is in with that $224,000. We're requesting $200,000 for that funding item.
Okay, so you're dropping it to $200,000. You can buy a boat for that?
No. We're hoping we make up the shortfall of some grant funding that I'm currently pursuing right now.
Thank you. Good luck.
Anything else on this?
Yeah, I could see removing the beach truck and the watercraft sled, and that would give us just under $25,000 towards their $250,000 that we're short. I think they could probably do without those this year, considering.
I was going to suggest that, pending comments from Mr. Endersby.
I don't need comments.
What is the condition of the existing truck?
Doesn't matter.
Two existing trucks, the two pickups we have are beginning to, if not at their end of their useful lives. We had funding in our vehicle equipment fund.
Community development grant, page 57.
I'm sorry,
you want to come back?
Mary Yates. Yeah, page 53, you breezed past it so fast. There's 2,000 on page 53, the sewer equipment replacement fund. They have allocated a service truck and crane. I just want to make sure we take note that we're looking at purchasing equipment out of, I know it's out of an enterprise fund, but, you know, we're trying to come up with $450,000. So I just want us to be conscientious of the expenses and money we're spending.
Okay. We are now at Community Development Grants, 57. Gas Tax Fund, 59. Visitor Accommodation Mitigation Fund, Traffic Safety Fund, sorry, I'm page 63 now, Special Safety Grants Fund, page 65, Parking and Lieu Fund, page 67, Transit Fund.
Yes, a couple items here, just to draw out the bottom of the page, and within the notes there, we did not receive the grant for the volunteer community bus. Council Member Borcher and I have met with staff and talked about some alternative options, and This is what came out of that was, you see that $8,800 and the $16,000 approximately. Both are specially designated grant funds, so we would not be able to apply them to our shortfall. And according to staff, they are available. They would not be supplanting any other essential transit operations for this cycle. And those funds very likely will come back to us again next year, so they could be leveraged in future years. So the suggestion is that we earmark those, or as much as needed, $18,000 to $20,000 approximately for a used van, which would be slightly less expensive than the larger 9-passenger bus.
So have we got this $25,000? Is that up in the it's in the budget above, right?
Yeah, it can't be used for anything else. I mean, it could. We don't need to replace the other vehicle right now until next year.
And no one's suggesting we take the 25 and reduce it to 20 and buy a used van. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes.
Because we've got the 16 and the 8.
Yes, and what we wanted to do was just get the approval and concept from the council and then have some additional conversations with the seniors and our staff and come back with the real, with the final number and
All right. For the purposes of this budget hearing, are we going to mess with this page?
Well, I have a question about the trolley.
Let's just stay on this.
It is on this page.
No, I mean on this subject, this the volunteer van, the 25 versus the 20. Are you suggesting we take 20? I mean 5,000 out of this budget?
No, I'm suggesting that we affirm that we're okay with those funds because that's what Councilmember Borcher and I wanted to do was affirm that it's okay with the council for us to pursue this and have those funds available if it turns out the conversation with the senior group is supportive and they do want to continue.
Saying you have $25,000 plugged into the budget for this, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's there. We don't affirm every item in the footnotes.
This one's particular because there's been some changes.
If anything, you're going to save us $5,000. Bravo. Carla.
We'll see. Just for clarification, because I'm rum-dumb at this point going through the budget, what are the, are there, and if so, how much are the transfers from general fund for trolley this year?
There are no transfers.
None. Okay. Then I guess I'm okay that we're subsidizing $34,000 to run three trolleys, one of them empty most of the time. And that would be another conversation to address on the future agenda, trolley service.
Bring it forward if you want. So we're all okay then on page 69, transit fund. Page 71, water revenue fund. Page 73, sewer revenue fund. And we're back to harbor. Let's skip over that for the moment. Risk management fund. You got a lot of money there, Rob. $1 million. We could balance our budget if we just, you know, dip into there. You wouldn't mind, would you? Are we all okay with risk management fund, $1 million in there? Page 79, special assessment districts fund. That's just Mimosa Street.
No, that's the Cloisters, North Point, La Prina. The Mimosa money was moved in 11-12 with the amended.
He has built anything.
I would disagree with that. I think we don't see any funds there because there are no funds going in there, even though there is building in progress. Am I correct on that?
There's no expenditures either.
No, there are no expenditures. It balances out.
Can we have clarification from staff?
Mr. Leivick, what do we have happening in commercial building? Oh, he's turning it back.
He's trying, but he's not
he's trying to get out. You're not going to get away with it. Come on.
We do have commercial building going on, but most of the commercial building we have is such that wouldn't generate impact fees. We would have gotten a tiny little bit from Albertsons because they increased a tiny little bit of square footage, but most of the commercial building we have is remodels. So if you're not increasing square footage, you're not incurring impact fees. The reason the balances haven't changed is this is for capital projects. It's not for operating expenditures. So these need to get allocated into capital projects versus these amounts will never go into the operating budget. They're only for capital expenditures.
Thank you.
Those improvements. So we would see impacts in the future with projects.
Page 87, park and lieu fees. Page 89, State Park Marina Special Reserve Fund. 91, Housing and Lieu Fund. 93, Water Reserve Fund. Sewer Reserve Fund. Harbor Reserve Fund, we're going to return to Harbor. Capital projects, starting on page 99. And they're all laid out there. Does anybody have a problem with the capital projects budget on page 99? Then we are through it with the exception of Harbor, which we'll address next, and then how to come up when we go back to the general fund with the $200,000. And I would like to address streets, at least have a mini conversation about it. But let's do Harbor first. We've got back to page 75.
Can I ask a question?
Yep, sure.
Ms. Slayton, you factored in the leases at zero, and are we not getting a CPI increase this year on them?
I'll have to defer that to Mr. Endersby to see if CPI was going in on the leases this year.
Yes, we're currently calculating those as we speak. Most of the leases have that kicker in for the fiscal year. We're calculating those right now, and some have they're all factored on different numbers based on what the base CPI is, so they all have different amounts, but we are calculating the CPIs that are in the leases themselves.
So I would state that it is not necessarily a flat revenue then if we have a CPI increase, even if it was 1%.
So the question is begging, if you've got CPI increases coming, how come it's not reflected here? And now we're scrambling to try to help you come up with the $250,000 that you're short. What's the deal with that?
Councilwoman Borchard, which line specifically are you referring to? So I know we're looking at the same numbers.
Are you on? Are your mic on?
$1,350,000 on page 75.
Okay, that's our estimated total lease revenue for the base rents and the percent gross rents. We've kept that flat for 2 years as a weaning method to get us off the general fund over the last 2 years. We know our revenues are more than that. This current fiscal year, 11-12, we budgeted $1,350,000. Our actual looks like it's coming in at $1,381,000, so it's about a $31,000 difference above budgeted. And then 12-13, if things pan out, we don't know what our percent gross revenues will be because those become reportable in July. But if we use the same numbers from that we used this year, our estimated revenue will be $1,142,000, almost $1,143,000. Budgeting $1,350,000 flat, that makes a $42,000 difference. So that's our initial weaning off of our $250,000 Dynegy outfall lease revenues. Hadn't expected it to come quite this quickly.
But that's $40,000 over. That's not reflected, and we're trying to find you $250,000. We have to count that.
So that, yes, may I?
The overage will go into reserves, just like you've been doing with the general fund. The $200,000 that we've been getting is the general fund amount you've been getting from Dynegy Finance has been weaning off $200,000 a year. That we're still getting that money. Yes, it just goes into reserves. We're doing the same thing with
job duties for the leases and things. That's the only department that has. I mean, the police department has no administrative other than Ms. Sponholz. The fire, we went to halftime. Public services went to three-quarter time. Parks and Rec went to nobody, and we have 1 3/4 people down there. So I would submit that they should have enough staffing to help offset some of those needs to not fill that position.
I agree.
And 15 years ago, it was Rick and Susan was halftime, and then we had Chief Harbor Patrol Officer and Harbor Patrol, and that's how it operated down there. And I think you can adjust. So that's my understanding is that is about $100,000 a year total cost for the business manager. Yes?
Yes.
Yes. And then 40. Well, 140, we need to find another $110,000. I would not be supportive of going into harbor reserves because we have deferred maintenance there that has to be addressed this year, namely the North T Pier.
That money's separate. We moved that.
We've allocated that.
Yeah, it's allocated. That $601,000 that's already allocated.
I would like to hear more from Eric about this idea of allowing self-contained campers, where he would put them, and how much money he thinks that would bring into the fund. Oh, it's in here. Yeah, RV hookups. I mean, no, aren't there non-hookups? They're self-contained.
Correct. They're what's considered or what's termed dry hookups, meaning
there they are,
no
dry
electricity,
hookups.
No water, just a patch to park your RV on. Kind of following the model of Port San Luis, they years ago began allowing RVs to park along their waterfront, and it's grown to about a $550,000 revenue stream for them, including two full-time camp hosts that manage it all. A more modest proposal for us or possibility for us would be looking at areas where we could possibly park RVs spread throughout the waterfront, basically from Beach Street on north. Front Street parking lot, could put possibly half a dozen in there. The old skate park between the old Coleman restroom and the basketball court now, where the skate park used to be, we have that small dirt patch. You could squeeze a couple, two or three in there. Some out at Target Rock on both the bay side and on the rock parking lot side, and then out the dirt extension of Embarcadero, and including the small turnaround area at the end at the creek. So we estimated 25 to 30 spaces fairly conservatively. Port San Luis charges $40 for their dry spots, $60 for their hookups. They do have some full hookup sites. They estimate their revenue or their occupancy at about 60 to 70%. If we went at $30 a space, just for argument's sake, and 50% occupancy, we'd be in about the $160,000 range. So the number that I think we threw on your PowerPoint presentation earlier was a conservative $130,000 to $150,000. So that's one possible large source of revenue.
Just a couple more questions. It looks to me like a good source of revenue rather than taxing people or whatever. My question, two questions. How does the cost of $30 a night compare to what our RV parks charge, and how much flack are we going to get from the RV parks?
Why would we want to compete with our private businesses?
That's the other side of that coin.
I don't know the exact rates that all the other RV parks are charging. I've basically gone off the Port San Luis numbers at this point. As far as competing, yes, you can make that argument. There is some competition there, but it's also dry, non-hookup parking spots, and most of our RV parks are full hookup. So it is serving a different customer in a different location.
I didn't hear you say Tidelands.
You know, are you finished, Nancy?
Thank you.
Go ahead, Noah.
Thank you. I didn't hear you say Tidelands, or you said South Embarcadero. Was that what you were thinking?
No, nothing. I wouldn't propose. I wouldn't see anything south of Beach Street, really. Be from Front Street parking lot north towards the rock.
Okay. That idea is really pretty distasteful also to me, because if you think about the whole Coleman Beach and Park area, to have RVs kind of clogging up through there, I think visually it takes away from one of our best assets, and I'd really be hesitant to approve anything that, as much as we need the revenue, I think it would take a lot away from what we offer people for that space.
I'm not in favor of it either. I don't like competing with our local businesses. That's the number one thing that bothers me. You know, the submarine, all the controversy it's caused just because of 8 parking spaces. I mean, we're talking about taking parking spaces out to rent out. That's going to cause people to come unglued. It doesn't feel good to me. I don't think you're ever going to get away with it. It was sold on a basis of streets and safe public safety, and to go anywhere else with those funds, who knows what the next council will think, but I just believe that this community feels that in their heart, that when they voted for it, that's what those funds were for. But I agree with you. Technically, you're right.
Could we look and ask Eric about some of these other suggestions he has to raise money rather than, because I don't see where we're going to cut anymore right at the moment. I mean, we've taken...
We could take that $24,000 from the beach truck replacement and rescue crafts.
Okay.
Sled and still leave the $200,000 there for the boat.
So that's another $24,000 if we take that.
So now we're down to about $80,000.
Why can't we take that then from the reserve fund? We have $261,000 there out of the harbor reserve fund.
I just
and
hate.
It all stays there. I know. We all hate it, but.
So how much are we talking about now? We still need to find.
Well, if we take his $25,000, that's what it's in here, right? $25,000 for the beach truck.
$24,000, I think.
We'll
that's close. We're at
168.
I got 164. We're around 160.
35 and 50, 85,000. We're still short. Yeah, we could take it from harbor reserves.
I'd
like to hear from Eric on that.
Going to get us through the year till we can reassess what Dynegy does.
Or do we want to look at any of his other ideas here? I don't.
I'm trying to keep order, but it's not working very well.
No, it's not. I apologize.
If we just do it in turn, it just seems to work a lot better, and especially not interrupt one another. Noah.
Yeah, can I suggest that we've already picked out some pretty significant adjustments to take a bite out of this, and that if we ask staff to come back, recognizing those, and then maybe identify a few of these others or some other ideas, then we can move beyond the harbor fund and get to these others, so we make sure we get staff direction tonight for the next meeting. We can start to hone in on some of the things that we would like more detail on.
Well, we can do that if you want to give up. We've just come up with $165,000. We have $85,000 to go. The time we're putting into this, another 5 minutes, we may find it.
But I'm just thinking about the 10 minutes we have remaining. And there's other, with the general fund, we still need to have this conversation.
I don't know that we've got it. What does it mean by sale of surplus property? What surplus property?
I believe that's in the general fund category.
You're right, it is. Okay.
It is.
But either way, we do have a list of some general fund, properties that are the city isn't currently using.
And that would be a one-time thing.
You're correct.
Again, you know?
Sir?
Yes?
Can we go just do some of these things that I guess it's Eric has listed here, like part, on this list and say, no, we don't want this, and like okay. We did with the first one. Just quickly.
Let's talk about parking meters. No.
No, I think that's pretty consistent.
And, John DeRohan did a study on this, and the study came out that we'd lose money. So, to suggest parking meters, unless you're going to charge $5 an hour, the administration of the parking meters would cost more than, we've got that study.
Yeah, let's not.
Let's just not even go there.
Parking meters
is a no.
Master fee schedule increases. This is higher fees. I'm against higher fees, more taxes. And who's going to get hit the hardest with that? Our fishermen.
That's not good then.
So, unless you've got something in mind, Eric, some fee increase that...
The only couple things you haven't discussed are not only from a cost recovery standpoint, but from a conservation standpoint, so I'll appeal to your greener side.
That would be my own.
Water. We do spend currently... on water alone, it's spread through our piers, slips, restrooms, showers. We do have cost recovery on some of our shower money at this point, but right now we're spending, looks like, $36,000 on water. Potentially, if we were to put in some coin up on some of our water, particularly the kind of public free water that isn't assigned to a specific space, the T piers and Tidelands Park, be about a $15,000 potential revenue stream there to try and recover some of that cost.
Clean up water. That's hard for me for $15,000. It's hard for me to get behind that.
But it is in the showers already, isn't it?
We currently have it in the showers in the vessel rinse down station at the launch ramp.
I would. I'd look at it if it's 15K.
We don't need to be too particular right now. If we're even interested in looking at it, let's just say so and move on.
Let's look at it.
It's funny.
For something, some type of development. Probably wouldn't be able to help us much in this fiscal year, but if we got that direction, it's something we could go towards for the future.
Yeah, that's not going to solve our problem this fiscal year, Noah, but good idea. So we get back to why couldn't we take the $85,000 from your reserves there this year? Would you object?
We can. It's as we know, it's one time, and it's what do we do next year? It's kind of kicking the can down the road to a degree.
Same with the truck.
Well, I think we ought to do it because you know we're backs against the wall here, and you know, give us a little time. Things might change between here and next year. I mean,
you know, this we've got side.
The economic development is going to bring in all this, and we're going to be in great shape.
Can I suggest that we actually move on from this with and ask staff to bring back what we've suggested so far, and perhaps a new suite of options that are still on the table or that may have be developed over the next week or two?
You can suggest it, but I'm feeling a council majority here for taking the $85,000 from reserves, and we've got the $250,000. It's done. Am I?
Ken, yes, and Ken, if there's Dynegy revenue to be received, can't that not go back in to repay the same as if we borrow from any other fund?
Sure could.
Towards repayment. I wouldn't want to put a specific amount, but you could certainly go back towards repaying the reserve fund.
I would agree to that proposal if we attach the repayment from it, you know, using potential repayment from Dynegy monies.
No problem. So I'm on board there. You're on board, we're on, so we've got
to do it.
I don't see the harm in waiting until the next meeting to confirm any of this, though.
I'm sure you don't. But
so if staff comes up with a good idea between now and then that saves the reserve, then we're willing to entertain that?
Yeah, sure. Anything
always.
In the
great.
Budget.
Great.
All right, so we're taking the $100,000 from the support services manager, approximately. These are all approximate figures. The $25,000 from the truck. $40,000. Where'd I get my $40,000 from?
Increased revenues.
Mm-hmm.
Lease site revenue, isn't it?
Yes, unbudgeted increases, and $85,000 we're going to take from reserves, and any money that comes in from Dynegy will get paid back into the Harbor Reserve Fund. There's four of us that agree to this. We don't need a motion on that, do we?
No.
Okay, so there you go, Eric. All right, where do we want to go next?
I would suggest we break for 5 minutes and go back to budget after our regularly scheduled meeting. Can we do that?
Yeah, I guess we can. We're there. Okay, we'll take 10 minutes, and then we'll come back for the regular meeting, and we'll finish the budget at the end of the City Council meeting.
No problem.
Good evening. Welcome to the regular session of the June 12, 2012 Morro Bay City Council meeting. Welcome, everyone. Let the record reflect that all members of Council are present, and we'll begin, please, with a moment of silence. And if you would please stand and face the flag, we'll be led in the pledge by Kathy Novak.
Good evening, all. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All
first off, congratulations to Jamie and Noah and Christine on your win in the election. I'm sure you will all be great mayor and great council people. And congratulations. And that swearing in will take place in this room Monday, December 10th. And then your first regular city council meeting will be the following night on December 11th. Received a call from Washington, D.C. today from NOAA, not that NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, who, thanks to the efforts of NEP, but her name, Adrienne Harris, put our name in, and we were selected by whatever board is in NOAA to make the selection to receive an award for excellence in local government, and there will be a presentation on that in the near.
The only reason she won't be at JPA. I think graduation definitely takes precedence. On another note, you should be watering your dahlias and get them growing, please. If they're not growing yet, get them planted. If you need dahlias, they are available at most of our local nurseries. Dahlia Days will be the 24th and 25th of August right here in this room. Remember, it's our city flower, and we want to fill this room with beautiful cut dahlias. So get busy. If you need any help, give me a call.
I guess I'm going to just bounce it back in me. I forgot to welcome or congratulate the Maritime Museum folk for bringing in the rescue sub Avalon, which is down in the parking lot now. It will get moved over when the lift station project is finished. That was a year and a half in the works for them to bring that here, and congratulations to them. George? No.
Yeah, just I wanted to follow up on the comment about the JPA meeting that's this Thursday, June 14th, in Cayucas at the Vets Hall. And then also just recognize just an amazing person that we lost in our harbor, in Captain Michelle Leary. Just a tragedy that has really left a hole in our whole community, and a deep sadness. But at the same time, there's a reason for some celebration, because her family and friends and crew, from what I understand, are committed to continuing the Kids at Sea program and working to maintain that program in Michelle's name and her legacy, which is a really amazing thing for the harbor, for youth that haven't been able to go out to sea, and for those that have that would like to return. It's really a special thing. There will be a memorial June 23rd at the Vets Hall from noon to 4, and there are opportunities to help support the family in that memorial and the process there with a fund at Rabobank, if you're interested in helping. She has a beautiful daughter that is following in her footsteps, and there are definitely expenses that the family could use support with. So there is a fund through Rabobank. And the Kids at Sea program, you can learn more about at www.kidsatsea.org. And it's a beautiful program. And again, very thankful to the family for continuing that.
And there is no closed session report, because we had no closed session. So we're at the public comment period. Is Karen Crawley here? Okay, then anybody can go first. Please state your name for the record. Please limit your comments to 3 minutes. Please conclude if the buzzer goes off. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening. Thank you. My name is Cynthia Hawley, and I'm attorney for Save the Park and the Xerxes Society, and I have a statement that I would like to read into the record. At the May 22, 2012 Morro Bay City Council meeting, local developer Dan Riddell made a number of false statements about the lawsuit filed against the City of Morro Bay for its approval of Mr. Riddell's proposed development on Cerrito Peak, and I'd like to correct those statements. First, Mr. Riddell said that Betty Winholtz is asking the judge to stop the City of Morro Bay from granting any more coastal development permits. This just isn't true. This lawsuit is brought by two organizations, Save the Park and the Xerxes Society. And Xerxes Society is an international society that protects invertebrates and their habitats like monarchs. And Betty Winholtz is not a party to the lawsuit. Next, Mr. Riddell states that the lawsuit could be devastating to the citizens of Morro Bay, because if the lawsuit is won, the citizens of Morro Bay will no longer be able to add any square footage to their homes or businesses. It will stop the wastewater treatment plant, will result in a virtual shutdown of the planning department, and there will be no building. There will be a full building moratorium. This just isn't true. It couldn't be farther from the truth. The lawsuit asks the court to postpone review and approval of permits until the city complies with the law. City staff has admitted publicly that the city's standard for practice is to approve projects without requiring developers to determine whether protected public resources exist on a site, and if so, where. This is a violation of the California Coastal Act, the Morro Bay Local Coastal Program, and the California Environmental Quality Act. Basically, there's no way to protect to protect public resources from development if you don't know where those resources are. If the court ultimately decided to order the city to comply with the law, the new permits would be postponed only for as long as it took the city to comply. Third, Dan Riddell states that Betty Winholtz is trying to steal his property and that Betty is asking the court to give his land to her nonprofit organization. This is wrong again. As mentioned above, Betty Winholtz is not a party to the lawsuit first.
Hi.
Welcome.
Good evening, Mayor, Council, and staff. I'm Sharon with Verge Sport Fishing, and we want to follow up on the kiosk idea. We went to the harbor meeting last week, and they were all in favor. And so Eric's in the process of designing them. And we thought we could put something about Michelle's Kids at Sea program, or whatever we want to put in. And so I'd just like to like your support in supporting our program or our kiosks. So thank you.
Thank you, Shannon. I'd like to go next. Hi, Taylor, welcome.
Hello. My name is Taylor Newton, and I'm a citizen of Morro Bay as well as a business owner. And I'm here on behalf of the Gorilla Gardening Club, which I'm the supervisor of. And we are working with the Oyster Festival this weekend. I'm also here on with Eco Rotary. We're also working with the East Oyster Festival this weekend. And as a citizen, I'm here supporting the Oyster Festival this weekend. So this Saturday, June 16th, 12 to 8 p.m., is our first, which should hopefully be an annual Oyster Festival down at the Morro Bay Golf Course. You can see on the diagram I put up on the overhead there, the general layout of the event down at the, I believe it's the 13th or 14th hole on the golf course. It's basically the grassy bowl opposite the Natural History Museum. And we are hoping that we can get as many people out there as possible. Tickets are also on sale online. There will be parking down at the Morro Rock, our huge rock here in Morro Bay. And I have a little diagram. There'll be a shuttle going down there and basically cycling back and forth. Hopefully the shuttle will have room to pick up people on the way to the golf course for those who decide not to park down at the rock. I'm going to put a little diagram of that up. You may have seen these posters all over town. There it is. And there's also flyers, and there's going to be different styles of oyster preparation and a little competition for that. There will also be a shucking contest. One thing I'm really excited about for this event is that it's not an eating contest, which always kind of turns me off to eating an oyster after I watch somebody shove all those oysters down their throat. This is about shucking, which is actually a competitive sport similar to eating food that is around the world. So the shucking of these oysters, it's removing the oyster from the shell, will be a competition at the event. That'll be exciting. And there'll be a number of chefs there. a fairly well-known band called Walk Off the Earth. They play that song, Five People on One Guitar, that has just been phenomenal on YouTube. There will also be some very artistic canopy tent things, which I'm not a professionally knowledgeable about, but I've seen pictures, and they're quite amazing. They're going to be starting to set those up Thursday or Friday. And this is really just going to be an event that I think that Morro Bay and citizens of Morro Bay, as well as citizens of our county, should really be excited about, because it seems to be like a new style for us here in Morro Bay, and it's a little bit different, and difference is good, and it's at the golf course, which is really an excellent venue in Morro Bay to have a good time. So please research this. Come on out, and let's get this on.
Thanks, Taylor. Who would like to go next?
Good evening, Mayor, City Council members. I'm Susan McDonnell, manager of a trolley in the transit. So the trolleys are running. I should put out this. Trolleys are running Friday through Monday, and we now have trolley tokens, and that's one. We have 1,000. We didn't have them before, but they're here, and so they are available. Businesses can purchase trolley tokens for $1. The rides are normally $1.25, so they're available on, if you ride the bus, they cost $1.25 to ride. And the businesses can purchase them, and they make good gifts for their clients or customers. So please come ride the trolley, and you can pick up schedules to the trolley at the visitor center, at City Hall, and at the transit office. The trolleys and...
Russ, who would like to go next? Anybody else? Hi, Al. Welcome.
Hi there. I'm Hal Abrams from Morro Bay and Estero Bay Community Radio. And Estero Bay Radio is now streaming online. The next step is to take it over to an FM signal, and that's something that we hope to complete by the end of the year. The FCC, as you know, as I mentioned before, opens these windows very rarely, but we're looking for them to open it again by the end of the year. I'm here tonight for a couple of reasons. I'm here to ask the city to file for the FCC license. To qualify for the license, the FCC prefers that the entity, the licensing entity, has been around for a while. And certainly Morro Bay has been around for quite a while, and since it is a community radio station, it would only make sense that the city of Morro Bay holds this license. With that in mind, we could enter into a management agreement where Estero Bay Community Radio could run the day-to-day operations of this station. I'm also here tonight to ask residents to become involved in this. If this is something that you want to be a part of, we have a lot of great programming that's going on now, both music, local businesses. If you want to be a part of it, you can give us a call, the phone number, or send us an email. It's up on the screen there. Your voice at EsteroBayRadio.com, and be sure to definitely check out the stream at EsteroBayRadio.com. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Al. Thanks for coming down tonight. Who would like to go next? Good evening, Betty.
Good evening. My name is Betty Winholtz, and I want to address two of your agenda items this evening. The first one is A2, which is a lease owner on the Embarcadero requesting that you extend his lease at the same rate for another year. I would ask you to reconsider this or think twice about it. This has been 10 years in the making that we've been waiting for him to increase from his 3 to 5%. Everyone is experiencing hard times at this point, and to single him out for this benefit, I would think would make for hard feelings among his fellow leaseholders, and that's probably not the way we want to do business on the Embarcadero. My second agenda item is A7 that I'd like to address, and it has to do with Southern California Gas asking to put in advanced meter reader stations in Morro Bay. What's a little suspicious about this is that they are calling them advanced meters when in any other venue, we would be calling them smart meters. And there's been all kinds of talk about that. We've, you know, dealt with it here at the council. We 2 years ago said that we did not want those in our community. The county has said that and the same thing. And I think what's particularly of concern to me is that one of the four stations that they plan to put them at is right next to the elementary school. And there's, of course, documentation on how EMF rays are not good emitting for young developing minds. And so that's a concern. They say that it only emits a little bit per day, but they have to constantly pulse to keep the whole grid going. So it's a little bit misleading to say that they're not constantly putting out those EMF rays. So please look again at that, or at least relocate it somewhere else. Two of the other three locations are in residential areas, and I'm not sure that that's wise either, because I'm not sure that the other end of the spectrum, you know, where we are approaching the other end of the elderly, that that's any good for them as well. The last thing I would like to address is the Caltrans cuttings that have been going on out at North Highway 1. Along the west side of the highway, our scenic highway. I've been talking with them, and a few of the neighbors and I went and spoke with Mr. Price at Caltrans last week. They're calling this a maintenance project, and in our minds, it's really major vegetation as defined by both the city code and defined by Coastal Commission, and that at least it should have been brought before us for review, if not a permit. So my question is, what effort is the city making to address what's going on, to speed up the process of replanting, and to make the residents who live on the other side of this exposed chain link fence now whole? And we're talking about safety, we're talking about privacy, and we're talking about the loss of property values. And so I hope that you can respond to that question.
Good evening, Mayor, Council, staff, and community members. My name is Keith Taylor, resident of Moore Bay. First thing I'd like to say is thank you for all of you that ran in this last election. Whether you win or lose, you put yourself out there, and I commend you because I could never do that. What I'm really here speaking as a friend of the Moore Bay Fire Department, I'm here, but this is really something we need to do for generations to come, because what we're trying to do is raise $100,000, and then the money that we get from the interest will help for the scholarship programs. And you've seen we've already given out, I believe, five scholarships, and it's huge for our firefighters because they have to pay for their paramedic training and for the fire academy. That's not paid for by the city. So we help them to become responsible firefighters who in turn take care of us. So thank you again.
Thanks, Keith. Would you like to go next? Come on up. Hi, welcome.
Thank you very much. Doug Hamp. I live on Whidbey Street in Morrill Bay. And not to sit there and repeat everything that Dorothy said about the disastrous trimming job that was done by Caltrans, I really do hope that the council can consider looking into it. And I don't know what all that really means. That's an easy thing to say, but it's devastating what they did, and it's ridiculous what they did and the way they did it. Now, Caltrans, I give credit for doing a lot of very fine things throughout our state as I drive. I'm very happy with the improvements that I see going on. But on this one here, this was a government mistake, and the remedy is very, very poor. So they're talking about things like we're going to put plants in that'll grow rapid. This is my retirement home we bought several years back, and I'm 69. There's a whole bunch of us in that track that will never see those things get big. So I would hope that there's some alternatives or make sure it doesn't happen again. As you come through our city, that's a terrible sight to see. It's basically the north end opening. When you come in, that's what you see. You don't see a welcome sign or a nice block wall or something that says, welcome to Morrill Bay. Now it looks like a junkyard. It's terrible. So I hope that indeed we can respond in one way or another. And I'd be more than happy to do anything you want to make that happen. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Doug. Thanks for coming down tonight.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
We will address this at the end. Come up, Linda.
Good evening, Council. My name is Linda Merrill, and I also live in the north area of Morro Bay, and I'm concerned about the wholesale cutting of all of these bushes and trees that have protected the visual site and safety site for those residences. I would like to ask the Council to write a letter to Caltrans and request that they put up a temporary fence until these plants that they say are going to be fast growing will actually grow. So if you could all please consider writing a letter to them, I would really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. Who would like to go next? Anybody? We're all done? Going once? Going twice? Back to council. Well, thank you, Betty, Doug, and Linda on this. You know, we heard about it right away. I certainly heard about it right away. The first one was on the east side, and then about a week later on the west side. We have contacted Caltrans. I'm sure that everybody read the Tribune article. They're not, how do I say this delicately, they're not very sympathetic. I'll just be honest. It's like that's our property, and it had beetles, and we took it down, and we're going to replace it. And I guess unsympathetic would be the best way to put it. We have expressed our outrage. I'll take you up on your suggestion, Linda, and we will fire off a letter. I'm going to be honest. I 10 years from now, it's a different council, and Doug and I are dead, and you know, it's all new people, and new people at Caltrans, and they can come in and do it again. I don't know what to. We're powerless on this. This is Caltrans, and we had zero warning on it. Obviously, the neighbors were not advised. The city was not advised. The staff was not advised. It took everybody by surprise, and nobody's happy about it. And we really feel for you up on that end. Do you want to add anything, Mr. Leivick? You've had some interaction with him on this subject.
Other than they have shared that they do have a planting plan for some ceanothus and Catalina ironwood to be planted back in there, that the removal of the myoporum was not major vegetation.
Keep this as a top priority because you know they're getting pressure from other communities as well.
And they know our feelings loud and clear. I wish I could tell you that the district director is so embarrassed and he apologized and he's going to make it right. I mean, that's not the message I'm getting from them. I'm just being honest with you with the word that I've chosen, unsympathetic. I want to thank Cynthia for coming and Sharon, Taylor, Susan, Hal, Betty, Keith, Doug. It's always great to see a new face here. You notice I know everybody's name except you and Linda for coming and giving us your input tonight. Anybody wants to call me on this tree issue, feel free. You won't be the first. I'm happy to discuss it with you further. And we will talk to Rob, and we will make sure that a letter gets off. And when I see the district director at the next COG meeting, he'll hear from me again. And we'll do what we can. Carla, you want to add anything? Nancy, this end? Okay, thank you all. We are at the consent calendar. Does anybody want to pull anything? Noah?
A7 and A8.
Anybody else? Can I hear a motion approving items A1, A2, A3, A4, A5, and A6?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. A7, Noah.
Yes, A7 is the installation of the Southern California Gas Company's advanced meter project and the poles for the receiving units, the collection units. And I'm going to be voting no against this. I see this as a presumptuous move on the part of the gas company because it precludes any they're planning future public outreach, but there hasn't been any yet. So they're basically installing infrastructure before there's public outreach and input, and I'm not in favor of that. It looks like these particular units are much less as far as the amount of low-frequency radio waves that they do send out compared to the smart meters from Pacific Gas and Electric, but I just see us kind of following the same process that PG&E took, where it's kind of they move first and then ask for input later, and I'd prefer us not to go down that same route again, so I will be voting no against this.
Any other comments on this? I hear a motion to approve the motion.
Sorry.
Certainly, Rob.
We have two.
I just wanted to add something to the gas meters. Just want to point out that this is basically for informational, and that the gas company does have to go through our coastal development permit process. So they'll be applying for a coastal development permit, and that'll be heard at the Planning Commission for either approval or denial of their coastal development permit. And then that permit is appealable to council and ultimately the Coastal Commission, because what they're proposing is development under the Coastal Act and do require a discretionary permit issued from the city. So I just wanted to make sure that, you know, the council and the public knew that.
Yes. Can I?
Yeah, you got something?
Yes. This came up at Economic Vitality Committee meeting several months ago, so it's not a surprise. I announced it at council and asked that we agendize it as a future agenda item to talk about. I don't think that happened. But anyway, as Mr. Leivick said, they will be going through the permit process. So I don't think it's anything we need to panic about at the moment. It's not new. It's something they've been working on for a while.
Can I hear a motion approving item A7, please?
So moved.
Second. Discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion carries 4-1. A8, Noah.
Yes, A8 is our reaffirmation of the resolution prohibiting street work between Memorial Day and Labor Day. And I bring it up because I think this concept is a good one. But looking at these updates, it opens up some questions. A couple of those are related to residential. We don't carve out residential to be allowed year-round. We don't have an emergency clause in here in case there is some sort of an unforeseen event or major repair necessary in a commercial district during this period. And in case there is a, for some reason, work is initiated, and which we would always try to avoid, and it looks like there's going to be some unplanned interruption, and it could expand itself into this range, then we're looking at likely having huge mobilization costs to postpone the remainder of that work until after this period, or it seems like we need to have a little bit more leeway for us to...
You may raise a valid point as far as it not saying specifically that the commercial areas, and I would be willing to take it back and fix that. It does address our visitors and parking, and I suppose you could read this to be parking by our houses, but it's not meant to be. As far as tightening it down, I mean, this came about in 92 or 03, I mean... because all through the 90s and then, you know, in 02 we did it again. We had a habit of doing all our street work in the summer, and it caused congestion. And in 02 they put in the sidewalk on Marina Street from Twin Dolphin down to the Embarcadero and took all that parking out, and that's where our store was. It affected parking down there. You know, they had the traffic all screwed up for the 6-7 weeks there, and that, you know, sparked this, that, you know, finally, once and for all, we're not going to do this work in the summer. If there's an emergency, and the way this was initially worded, this was a major negotiation with me and staff, and that was fought all the way on this. They did not want any part of this. And that's why words like goal were put in and let common sense prevail.
which meant, you know, if you've got a water main and stuff, I mean, let your common sense, you're not going to ignore that. If there's an emergency, they can come to us and say, come to council and say there's an emergency. They have to address it. You can start ticking away at this and making all the outs, and that's exactly what they're going to find is the outs, and then you're going to have a fellow council member say, well, there's the word goal in there, and I'm trying to tighten this down. I'd be willing to bring it back and make sure that it's addressing the commercial areas only. The rest of it, I'm not. Anything here?
I would be interested in loosening the tree trimming too, so it doesn't tighten that up so much because of the nesting season added on. Makes it very restrictive on the timeline there.
But you don't want tree trimming in the summer, do you?
No.
Downtown? Okay.
But not in the downtown, but that's what I'm saying. It's just so it's more specific about the commercial areas and not the residential.
I think it wouldn't hurt to, besides making sure commercial specific, that we add an emergency component, and recognizing emergencies would give staff the leeway, because at this point, would staff then have to wait for a council meeting?
I'll talk to Rob. I'll bring it back.
Okay.
So we'd not take any action on that. C1, Rob.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, City Council. Bringing back our infamous now street project for this year. This is an update to where we last left off, last meeting. We have had some communications with the contractor, ISS, regarding their failure to start. And they gave us notice that they would start the residential areas on June 11th, on Monday, that they would distribute the notice to residents, and that they would have all the submittals to us by June 8th. They have met all those deadlines. They did start, although it's very difficult to see the work that they've done, because they started with some of the simpler tasks that they had to do, placement of erosion control, some weed control on before they start crack sealing, and cleaning out the cracks before they start crack sealing. In regards to the failure of them to mobilize and begin our two major streets prior to Memorial Day, they have offered up a alternative in some preliminary negotiations in lieu of liquidated damages charges, which we have preliminarily calculated about $98,800 if they could complete the work within 2 weeks after Labor Day. And they would perform a pilot project on, I'm going to use Tide Street just for the sake of discussion. It doesn't have to be Tide Street per se, but that was one of the streets that staff thought would be a local collector that a lot of people use, and would, it's in fairly bad shape, that would give a good demonstration on the 23rd of July. That concludes my staff report, and be glad to answer any questions.
And a fine staff report it was. Well, I'll go first with a question. When I heard about this, what I heard words were, they are going to do this Tide Street pilot program in lieu of screwing this up. Now what I'm hearing is, maybe it'll be Tide Street. I mean, it's...
I've just heard from some of the members of the community that, you know, maybe another street would be more appropriate, because Tide Street, we could, having such a smooth surface on it, we could have a problem with cut-through traffic. So there are other streets in town that are of similar conditions. We've agreed upon the length and the quantities of work. We could discuss a different street if the council desired. Tide Street was staff's recommendation based on the condition of the pavement and that it serves multiple streets that use Tide Street, and it's not just carving out one residential street, one local residential street that only a few people use for this demonstration project that would receive much more traffic.
And you heard from neighbors that they don't want that street because they don't want it to be too smooth?
Could be traffic issues with speeding on the street due to the improved surface.
Wow. That's a new one. Carla?
I think Tide would be a great street because it is a collector street with every street coming down. I don't see somebody going racing from one end to the other. I'm certainly in favor of getting anything we can on the ground versus the money. And perhaps if we end up finding any money tonight for paving, we can, while they're mobilized, we could potentially continue on maybe.
Kathy?
Well, I'm not particularly tied to Tide Street. It was bad, wasn't it? Couldn't help it. But I certainly don't see where a nice smooth street is going to ruin, make it all that much more dangerous to be on there. I mean, the potholes are pretty bad now. So I would think that you gentlemen should use your best judgment in picking a street that needs to be done and get it done sooner rather than later, please.
George? No?
Okay. I'm really excited about this, particularly because if this pilot process does turn out to work well, it would give us the chance to actually start to dig into the island streets much more quickly than we ever anticipated because of the efficiency and the reduced cost. So I do like the idea of implementing that credit somewhere in the island street area. The idea of concern from the neighborhood comes from there is already a concern about traffic safety and the speeding issues combined with the density of the neighborhood and the number of kids and people on walking and on bicycles, particularly working their way to the school and the park, lends itself to the need of better traffic calming in that area. So I would support Tide. I would think that we should follow that up with a process of trying to do some traffic safety work up there. And talking with Mr. Livick, there's an idea that has been utilized in other communities called a neighborhood traffic management plan, which basically involves neighborhood outreach and brings in their input to identify the most appropriate traffic calming means. And then basically we can come back to council and implement those that are most favorable. So I, according to Mr. Livick, that's something we could do in-house with the assistance of an intern. I've talked to a number of neighbors. They've offered to help with that sort of a process, and it could be initiated this year and completed this year, according to Mr. Livick. So besides that, I hope we would pursue that. And the other street that I think is definitely worth considering is Island Street because of the traffic that it receives specific to the park and accessing the park. And it is in a lot of the streets are in terrible condition, but Island is getting even more traffic than the others because of people going to the park. So if we, as we're talking about this in the budget later on tonight, perhaps we can find room to expand off of Tide and add Island this year potentially. So I'd be interested to see what we can do to encourage this neighborhood traffic.
What I'm requesting is council authorization to negotiate with the contractor for the work instead of liquidated damages.
So moved.
Second.
Any further discussion?
Yes, I'd like to just confirm, Mr. Livick,
I guess no one would like to speak.
Do you need any Do you need any further support for this outreach program that we're talking about for traffic control? Is there anything that council needs to affirm, or would you be comfortable moving forward with that as we've talked about?
May I interject?
No, but you may speak after.
Okay.
He addressed a question.
After he answers the question.
Of course, I would like to see council's approval before, or city manager's direction before I proceed with any substantial programs. This would be a good project for one of our free traffic interns, but it does require community involvement, so the community is going to have to meet us halfway on this and provide a lot of the groundwork on these neighborhood traffic management plans.
You're good? Nancy?
Based on the motion that we have on the floor, I think it's very important that we move ahead with authorizing Mr. Leivick to use these funds for the paving at his department's discretion. They're engineers. They know what we need. They have a wonderful pavement management plan. And while I think the community involvement project is important, I think that's another piece that we don't want to confuse with what we're talking about right now.
I think that's in keeping with the motion.
Yep. Thank you.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
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 Okay. I'd like to do a follow-up motion.
Motion carries. If you just let me finish. Motion carries 5-1. Noah?
Thank you. I'd move that we authorize the Public Services Department to pursue a pilot neighborhood traffic management plan in the island streets for traffic calming and control.
Yeah, you can declare that for a future agenda item later if you like.
Okay.
Anything else? C2, Eric.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. As you know, in the May 8th Council meeting, one of the sport fish operators came to the Council and expressed a concern for lack of visibility of their business on the waterfront. You, after some discussion, you directed my department to go meet with both sport fishing operators in town and come up with some ideas in terms of what they're looking for signage and other visibility enhancements for their businesses. I did bring back to the May 22nd meeting some conceptual ideas in terms of some signage and or kiosk. At that meeting, you asked for further clarification and go back and meet with those operators again, kind of nail it down a little bit tighter in terms of exactly what we're talking about in terms of the actual facility and exact location. We did. I met with representatives from both operators shortly after the 22nd meeting, fleshed out the details a little bit more. Essentially, what they're looking for is something along the lines of the state park kiosks, the little informational signage type booths, and then we do have a surplus wheelhouse in our yard that's possibly suitable for repurposing as well. The 22nd council meeting, you also directed me to bring that to the Harbor Advisory Board, which I did. Got it to the June 7th meeting just last week, and they spoke and discussed and came up with their recommendation. That meeting didn't happen in time for our staff report, so that's why I'm here today to continue on with the verbal. The essential things that came out of Harbor Advisory Board was a unanimous vote, 6-0, as proposed, to go ahead and recommend approval of the signage concept or the kiosk concept with the addition of waiving any fees that might be associated from the city with that project. They wanted to make sure that whatever was put in place included other water-type businesses, other water-dependent businesses like the kayakers and such. Locations were South T Pier, primarily Centennial Parkway, were both acceptable. The wheelhouse, general consensus seemed to be that would go down better at Centennial Park, down by the chessboard. And then another suggestion for location at the South T Pier area was possibly across the street in conjunction with the Maritime Museum and the display they have over there. Otherwise, in terms of the kiosk and the wheelhouse, they're both, like I say, unanimously in favor of recommending that go forward.
Carla?
I'm supportive of the similar examples that are here at Centennial with the sign. I guess that's the bus sign, and the one that's out that's got the little roof on it. I would prefer to see it across the street and
park, but preferably where our new Maritime Museum is going, because as I understand it, that's going to be the most wonderful tourist attraction on the face of the earth now that we have this beautiful submarine. And what better place for this kiosk than there? So first, I want to know something, though, Eric. You said they are going to build it, and they're not going to get permits. Who's they? The city? You?
Both the sport fishing operators have pledged support in terms of materials and labor to construct whatever eventually is approved to go in place.
Oh, that's nice. A community project. I love it. Thank you.
George?
It looks like a wheelhouse to me.
It does look like a wheelhouse. You know why? It's a wheelhouse. Noah?
Yeah, thanks. I understand what you're saying about the wheelhouse, particularly as it looks now. But the concept, I think, is a really exciting one. And from talking with the family and the Central Coast Sport Fishing, the idea for the wheelhouse is that it's not necessarily to have someone there. It would be, the information would be with inside the wheelhouse, and it would be set up as so that a family could go in there, learn about marine-related activities and programs, including the sport fishing and the kids at sea, and there'd perhaps be a wheel there for the kids to play with and get that feeling like they are in command of the ship and have some fun. So I understand that you would be cautious about putting an old wheelhouse out there in such a high-profile position, but from what I've learned talking with the sport fishing applicants and family members, that there's some really good ideas about improving the cosmetic face of this and making it much more aesthetically pleasing. So I would hope that we could allow them to pursue that further. And I did get a chance to hear some of the Harbor Advisory Board meeting, and I know they were very enthusiastic about this idea as well. I think we just need to stress that it looks professional. And I would like to see, again, the Chamber be, Chamber and perhaps the Tourism Bureau be involved with this, because it's great that they're willing to host other activities. And I know both the Chamber and the Tourism Bureau have talked about some sort of laptop or computer monitor eventually to be available at places exactly like this that would be more of a touch screen opportunity to direct people to all sorts of pieces of information, and it would be basically a kiosk for a visitor center type kiosk. So it seems like a good opportunity to move forward, and yes, we need to invest in it so it looks nice and professional. In the short term, this could be the option, and we could then continue to pursue more refined, more aesthetically pleasing options. But I don't want to just abandon this, and I would guess from the conversations I had with Michelle beforehand that these ideas were really exciting to her and would definitely offer help for their business and others.
Yeah, I love the wheelhouse, too. It's very nautical. It's maritime. It needs to be fixed up, clearly. Yeah. Harbor Festival has used that wheelhouse for years to store stuff in. I know the wheelhouse really well. I think it's cool. You know, I think I'm going to get overruled here. I do think that we need something on the west side of the Embarcadero. You know, that occasionally I stand outside George's restaurant and talk to him, not very often, but sometimes. And I don't think that we've ever gotten together for 10 or 15 minutes out there, and somebody hasn't happened today. Come along. You know, where's Virgis? There needs to be some information on that side. People are still searching for Virgis, and that's been Sharon's cry since the move, is, you know, we don't have visibility. So I hear you, and I don't think I'm going to prevail here, but you need something on that side of the street. I've always liked the Redondo Beach idea. I brought it up, you know. You've been to Redondo Beach Pier? It's sport fishing right over the whole pier. Just sport fishing. And put a floating dock. I mean, I'm way ahead of ourselves. This isn't going to happen tomorrow. and run the sport fishing boats off the South Tee Pier. But that's not going to happen. That's not even part of this conversation. I think putting this boathouse or putting a kiosk on that side of the Embarcadero by the South Tee Pier would be a lot more meaningful for the sport fishing. I also see this getting, every water-related business is going to want to be part of this now. When this started as sport fishing, now we've got a lot of kayak businesses here.
Centennial Park there, that would be a great place, and you know that wouldn't necessarily be representative of all water-related businesses. I think if you're going to do something like this wheelhouse somewhere that's a huge building space, then you were certainly going to be needing to open it up to all of the water-related businesses, and you're right, it's going to be lost. So if our focus is on basically right now verges because of the uncertainty of Central Coast sport fishing, then I would say, you know, the simpler, more streamlined kiosks at this point in time would be more appropriate, especially, you know, if this is of urgency for them.
Well, we all have our pulse on verges. It feels urgent to me. Nancy?
Okay. First, I do have sort of a problem with limiting it just to sport fishing, but I understand where you're coming from with that. So if you want just sport fishing, I would say the state park style sign in Centennial Park. I do not, having listened to your appeals over there, think we should necessarily throw out the idea of the wheelhouse. I don't see it on the west side of the Embarcadero. The only place I see it is part of our Maritime Museum area. That's where it fits in. And I think once you open that building up, whether you use iPads or signs, or what you choose, somebody's going to have to be in charge of making sure it stays neat and updated, but I think you're going to have to open it to everybody if you go with the larger building. But I would vote for the state park type kiosk in the park for sport fishing only. I would also vote for the wheelhouse open to other aquatic ventures, but only if you want to put it in the Maritime Museum area.
Well, I really see this wheelhouse not really doing Verges much good. The people come, they see the Verges boats right there. Right now they're at GAFCO, where they'll be in the future, I don't know, but they're there now. And I think for the immediate action, we should put something right there next to where Bill and I were standing, because if people see that boat, they walk up there, and the first thing they do is ask, where can we get a hold of Verges? Okay, but right there, right next to the restaurant there, if they had something that they could read, it doesn't have to be very big, just maybe in a direction, show and go back up Beach Street, turn left on Market Street, whatever. I don't know what it is. But I think that would give immediate the resolve of Verge's problem right down there where people are looking for it, because they see the boats. It's pretty obvious. The Princess is there. It stands out. So they get out of their cars and they walk right over there. So it just a small sign there just directing them to the office. I think that's what Sharon's trying to do, is get the people up to her office so she can negotiate whatever they have to do about taking a trip. So the wheelhouse is, boy, I don't know how much stuff we're going to put over there now. We've got a submarine, we've got a turn boat, and our wheelhouse. Geez, too bad we don't have the Tagger's Folly. We could have put it over there, too. Yeah, I know. It's too bad, isn't it?
Can I say something, George, just based on what you said? What, there's that building, and I don't know what it is, there on the end of the T pier. Right now it has...
That's electrical.
Yeah. Okay, but there's a sign on it that's terribly faded and outdated about wearing your safety vest.
It's poorly kept up.
It is, but would that be a place to put a sign?
Well, like I say, they walk right up to almost like the entrance to the Great American, entranceway. Just right there to the left, there, I think...
Well, there's that, like I'm saying, there's that electrical, whatever that building is.
Yeah, but...
A nice big bright sign there might do the trick.
Well, I've been dealing with public for a long time. And if you don't put things right obvious to them, it's amazing. Just like I was talking about the Tiger's Folly, they would read the sign all about the Tiger's Folly, how many hour, when hour, what it cost, everything. Turn around, walk in the bar, and ask the bartender the same questions they just read on the sign. So you have to give them something that they can see. If they put it over in that on that building, which I think is it looks like a good idea, they won't look. They won't see it. I tell you that they won't see it.
I agree with George.
They got tunnel vision. They see the princess. They walk up and they start looking around. Where's Burgess? And I think right there, they just need something not.
Okay,
we classified this as emergency. We wanted to get something done for these.
I like George, and I like his building and his lease site, but I do not want to see the Verges sign on his lease site because I think it's messing things up. And that's.
Well, I have told Verges that they could put a pub sign up on George's roof line. They haven't done it because that's legal. And that's not the same as like in your face. But
we've gone from talking about a kiosk, a general kiosk dealing with sports fishing, to dealing with the issue of Verges and the issue of Verges and signing for Verges when Verges is a subtenant of council member leagues. We're back into the conflict of interest issue.
Got it.
So we either keep it general, or if Mr. League wants to deal, which is signage for Verges, which is a subtenant, that's allowed on his premise, just like the Island Tour boat has signage on Geo's. So signage for a subtenant is allowed on his site.
Okay. But you're right. So we've got to keep it focused on the agenda item. No?
Yeah, can I ask Ms. Moore a question?
Sure.
I'd like to hear her opinion on utilizing that structure there by the two trash cans that you had brought up. Would that work as far as, in your opinion, visibility of that sign, if you understand which...
On the south tee pier?
I believe so. That's what you're talking about, right,
Nancy?
The
electrical box. Do you know where the safety sign, the faded safety sign is?
He's talking about trash cans, I think.
What would you think about simply replacing that existing sign with the kiosk sport fishing informational sign?
We were looking at where the trash can is now, because when people are walking, it's what George said, they don't look, they don't see. If we had it where the trash can is, it gets it both ways. And the boat's out a lot of times, so if people come, they don't see the princes with the number on it because the boat's out fishing. So if we have something there, that would be the best place.
But mounting a sign on the electrical structure.
I don't think they'll see it on that sign. We could try it.
I know those trash cans are, they could be shifted to create the eastern side that would be the best, in your opinion? Is that what you're thinking?
Yes, where the gate opens and there's a trash can there, right there.
So would that be an option from staff side to shift where the trash cans are and be able to utilize that existing structure?
Yeah, we can do that. You don't have to ask them. I'll tell you, we can put any sign we want up there.
Well,
but it's she's saying it. George has said it. I agree. It's not going to help them. People come straight to GAFCO's front door when they're looking for Verges.
There is a sign already.
Sorry.
Excuse me. There is a sign already there that says Verges. So naturally, they come down and they see Verges on that's on the restaurant. So that's why they walk up there, because you put that sign there. That's why I'm saying that little area right there in the corner, right where that little blue fence is that ends up right next to our entranceway.
That'd be best.
That's perfect.
Yeah, we just make it smaller.
And all you make is a something stands up, and a little flat thing like that.
Yeah.
But
it
just
tells it. We can't go there anymore.
Okay,
I'm through with this a long time ago. Okay. Let's just put it up.
Thanks, Sharon. Thank you.
More questions? Okay.
So the kiosk and the sign would be inclusive of all sport fishing. We're talking about on that site, then, just to confirm that.
We're not talking about GAFCO's site anymore. We can't. You know, and the agenda item isn't about that. That's a separate deal.
No, I'm talking about that area, the northern area. The northern informational kiosk is going to be inclusive of all sport fishing.
It's always that, yes.
Yes, okay.
Yes.
So I don't want to split hairs right now. I don't know if it's just the budget or whatever, but I could be convinced to put it on the west side, particularly because I know that there is becoming more and more pressure in the Front Street parking lot area. I'm open to that. I don't have a real strong feeling either way. This is something that is going to be fairly simple. There's not going to be a lot of room, so I understand the need to keep that particular one focused on sport fishing. I would like to talk about or to encourage the one in the Centennial Park area to be inclusive of all sport and ocean-related activities like the kayaking and so on, because we have more space there. There's much more general foot traffic. And I
don't have to squint my eyes very hard to see a beautiful wheelhouse there.
Okay.
Thank you, Sharon. I'm sorry to do that to you. Are you finished? You know, and I'm good with that either way. If we hear Carla's on the opposite end here, she doesn't like the wheelhouse. So it's always great when we're in agreement.
Hey, if you want to put it at Centennial Park in that little area right there, I'd be fine with it. But I'm going to stick to my thing about that we just took.
We heard you.
We just took all the banners and all the signs and all the things down off of that side and all the newspaper racks and everything, and then we're going to turn around and put one back on there. So I'm supportive of putting it on the electric box or somewhere that's not going to block what we just took out of there in regards to specific to just sport fishing, to Burgess and or Central Coast sport fishing. If it's the other, would be more inclusive of all the businesses.
So you are in favor of putting the sign on the electrical box in the South Sea Pier and moving the wheelhouse to Centennial Park?
Yes.
Okay, got it. Nancy, see what you're supporting.
I can live with that.
As can I. George?
It sounds wonderful.
Can I just ask Mr. Endersby if you're clear on that or if they see any problems with what we're talking about?
Yeah, I would like to bring up an additional, you know, possibility here. I'm being kicked under the table here by my colleague to my right.
A wrinkle.
Master planning his park in terms of, you know, the kiosk going there. There's no set. Yes, it has to be there. That was the place identified. It was just the general location of Central Coast sport fishing, and that was just a spot identified as a possibility. There's certainly a lot of room in the 714 Embarcadero parking lot right next door that could be just as suitable, and I will allow Mr. Woods, if he would wish to expound on that.
Sure, Joe. Screw up our deal here.
No, thank you for the opportunity. I think it's a good idea to enhance the knowledge for visitors to know where the fishing is and how to get to those locations. But I've got other considerations in that park that maybe have been oversight in this conversation. There are several activities that go along in that turf area and also on the giant chessboard. We've got a lot of pedestrian traffic as well. And there may be different locations within this parkway, which stems from the top of the bluff there all the way down to the waterfront on the west side. So just an opportunity to look at other possibilities within that park for a kiosk. And if you're shooting for the wheelhouse to go in there, just allow us to work with the Recreation Parks Commission at least to see in our master plan how this would fit in. We definitely want the uniqueness of this parkway to continue on. The functionality of the amenities within this park need to continue on. And if we're going to add something in, we just want to make sure that it's consistent with our plan.
Yeah,
I appreciate the opportunity.
I suspect council would be too. The wheelhouse would not be a permanent structure. You know, I mean, the wheelhouse is rotten. It's not going to last very long. It's a pick it up, put it down kind of deal. It's not permanent. Not seasonal, but, you know, it's been sitting in that yard for I don't know how long, but it also had forklifts that moved it around. It's put it on blocks, and, you know, it's not permanent. You're not going to plummet. You're not going to put a bathroom in it, or, you know, I don't even think it needs power.
What if we put the poor rotten thing in the parking lot right next to the fence there? Then it wouldn't be in his park.
We're holding the wheelhouse concept.
It is wonderful.
We're holding it to a certain standard. If it doesn't look well kept and tidy and structurally sound, then I think we're all saying we wouldn't want it out there. And I know that the sport fishing. From talking with them, they have some really great ideas about putting real effort into fixing it up and making it look nice. And I think we're going to be expecting that. We can't just put anything out there, particularly if you're expecting people to have foot traffic through there and for safety of, you know,
kids. Put this on the overhead so that the audience can see what we're talking about.
But I'm okay with leaving it open to that vicinity and not trying to get too specific at this point.
And yeah, send it to Rec and Park. I'm cool with that. I'm cool with what you've asked for, Joe. I think council is. Okay. So. And the sign on the electrical building. Okay. We're cool.
Do we, for that wheelhouse, when's the next Rec and Park meeting?
Our next regular meeting is scheduled for the third Thursday in July.
Yeah, so.
We're 17th.
We're really pushing this back considerably.
Thinner.
I thought of that too.
Well, so, it'll be a kiosk.
But you're right. It's, you know, here we are. We're talking about doing something for them right away. And now what I'm hearing, Park and Rec in July, and then we're in August, and nothing's going to, you know, we're going to miss the whole summer. And that was not our goal.
I'm totally confused. How are we going to vote on this thing? What are we doing?
Yes. I thought we were approving the one on the utility box there.
We are.
So that's going to give them one now.
Make the motion and send it to Park and Rec.
Okay. I move approval of a temporary sign to be placed on the location of the power box at the South T Pier.
I second it. Please.
He beat you by...
Who do you...
Noah, he beat you. All right, we'll give it to George.
Okay, can I ask for a...
We're going to give the second to George. Go ahead. It's discussion.
Yeah. Would you mind having that specific to sport fishing? So that
specific to sport fishing.
Yeah. Okay. Any further discussion on this? We beat this to death. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. D1, Rob. No, that was part of this. No, that's going to Park and Rec. Yeah.
Turn it over to them.
You're on, Rob.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. At your May, let's see what. At your April 10th. 2012 meeting, the City Council authorized the support of the Estero Bay Community Radio application to the Federal Communications Commission for a low-power FM radio station and authorized staff to allow for the installation of an FM radio station's antenna at the city's corporate yard. Since that time, the Estero Bay Community Radio has informed the city that in order for them to qualify for that LPFM, that low-power FM radio station, that their odds increase substantially if they've been in existence for 4 years. And since Estero Bay Community Radio is a brand-new corporation or incorporating right now, that the odds then of obtaining that LPFM radio station was next to zero. So the members of the Estero Bay Community Radio have requested that the city be the licensee and apply for that license in order to see if they can obtain that LPFM. If we are successful with that, then we would enter into an agreement with the Estero Bay Community Radio Station for the day-to-day operations. And so with that, I'll open it up for you. I don't believe there would be any expenses at this time. The way I understand it, if you do agree to this, and the application will actually be completely filled out by the Estero Bay radio station with the attorney that they're using in Washington, D.C., and they have their engineer on board to determine the radio frequencies that are available in this area, we would only be the signature to that. If we're then successful with that license, we would then enter into that day-to-day operations that would not require any expenses on behalf of the city. The downside is, as though there always is, you know, a certain risk, we'll transfer that risk through the day-to-day operations. But in fact, if there were any violations of our license, the FCC would certainly fine the owner of that license, which would be the city. So with that, I'll turn it back to you for any questions.
Well, I'm in support of this. I don't think this needs a sales job. But Carla?
I'm supportive of it as long as there's clauses in there to protect the city in case there are some problems with the regulatory agency, so we're not held for that.
And can there be?
I mean, we'll have indemnification and insurance issues and all other requirements on that. We are the owner of the application for it. So if there was a scenario where the FCC found out whether we were in violation of the license, they would fine us. We would turn around and tell the nonprofit corporation that they have to pay for it in their insurance. But if some reason insurance was canceled or insurance company went bankrupt, and we would ultimately be, there is that risk that we'd be responsible. We take many more risks on a day-to-day basis than I see in this license.
Great.
And we currently have a AM license, but we can't use that same license for this. This requires a different license.
Are you satisfied with that?
So then can you just, a little history on the AM license? Have we ever had any issues? Who's
no.
running it?
Yeah, we have not. Is the chamber the actual?
The chamber, as well as one another individual in Morro Bay, has the ability to change it. We, to my knowledge, in the last 22 years, have never had it.
At this point now? From the city side?
They're already broadcasting.
Oh, no, it's actually broadcasting the city meetings.
Everything's been straightened out. I don't think
so
there's anything else.
We can proceed with that then. Great.
Declaration of future agenda items. Carla. I can come back to you. Nancy.
Thank you. Trolley hours of operation and trolleys, please, for future agenda.
Trolley operation,
yes,
hours of operation.
Yes.
Boy, that'd be her deal. Did you want staff back up in this?
Well, she has all the information. If I can get support from someone. Thank you.
I'll support you.
I got a Noah
you.
And a Nancy.
There we go. Okay.
Thank you.
Support.
Do
you have nothing?
No, I'm going to wait till next time.
George? Are you going to wait for next time? Noah?
Yeah, I didn't want to revisit this pilot neighborhood traffic management plan for the island streets. That concept, bring it back for approval.
Bring it back for approval? The mic's not on.
Oh, shoot.
You could just yell next time.
I did want to do the pilot neighborhood traffic management plan for the island streets to help with traffic calming. Ask Mr. Livick to bring back a summary of that for council approval.
Does Noah have support in that? Okay. Do you want to do that and write your own report?
I would prefer Mr. Livick to write that, but I could work with him on it. It's pretty straightforward. He would be the one carrying out the program with...
Well, unless I see support here. I'm not seeing it here.
Is it going to PWEB first? Or coming to us?
I'm asking for it to come right to us.
So you're on your own here if you want to do this. I'll put it on the agenda.
Okay, let's do it. Can we plan on that happening as soon as I have it ready, or when would you anticipate?
Yeah, 10 point subject to change, yes.
All right.
You let me know. Okay. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back to the budget. Okay, we'll resume if everybody's ready. Okay, we are back on the budget, our favorite subject. Carla?
Well, I think at this point, I believe we're looking for the $200,000 that we will be short in our general fund from Dynergy's contract shortage, and I would look, when we can sit up here and we can nickel and dime it to death and beat it up and pick something out of every category, and I would suggest that we simplify it and take $100,000 from risk management and $100,000 from our excess emergency reserve fund and not go after all the departments and all the things. I mean, we'll throw the whole budget out of whack, and it seems like the two most logical places that will have the least effect, and those are both accounts that have excess reserves.
I love it.
Nancy? So moved.
That's a motion?
I just moved. You want a second?
Second it.
Well.
Have a motion.
Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Ah, love it. Okay.
You get a lot of coos for that.
Well, we don't fool around.
We love you, Carla.
You get the coos of the night.
Let's go to... Yeah, we want to talk this over with you, Rob. Oh, too late. We've already moved in. Sorry. Let's go to page 100. Anybody want to talk about Measure Q?
Well, and also I would add that we do still have excess emergency reserves that can be allocated if the council so pleases towards streets or other things that are above our required maintenance hold.
I'll start with you, Noah. How about you and Measure Q?
Yeah, I'd just like to start because, you know, we're going to be focusing on pavement and streets. If we can ask Mr. Livick to do a review right now of cumulatively what we have, particularly because there will be some rollover funds from the work that wasn't done this round. So, Mr. Livick, if you wouldn't mind reviewing what we currently have in the budget for this upcoming year for streets and also then street repairs.
Based on our $900,000 estimate for street work, bids came in lower than we expected. One of them did. So we're looking at about approximately $200,000 in carryover from the street projects from this year.
Are you talking about Measure Q funds?
Yes, Measure Q funds.
Okay.
And that's exhibited. Is that beyond the 250 that you have here for on page 100, or is that that's just a $50,000 additional?
That would be the $250,000 would be for this year's allocation. And then that would be added to the any carryover to make a larger project.
So we have actually then 450, if you include the carryover for the pavement management plan in Measure Q.
Roughly. Okay, roughly, in round numbers.
Okay. And then we have this 179 or 170 approximately for street repairs, which can be focused on pothole work. No. We can focus that on pothole work. Wouldn't that be correct, Mr. Levick?
That number, cross gutters is just kind of an example project to use for that. You know, we did a lot of cross gutters with this last year's kind of that day-to-day operating repair work out of Measure Measure Q that we did last year in the north end of town to control some of the drainage and to keep the streets from deteriorating anymore. But yes, this money, of course, it's council's discretion to dedicate this towards pothole repairs and not continue on with the cross gutter project. This is more of what Mr. Woods and Wilcox use for their the acute problems with the street system.
Okay, so I'm liking the sound of that. I would like to focus the majority of that, as much as makes sense, unless there's some really outstanding needs in a specific cross gutter area, to pothole repair, and focused on North Morro Bay in particular, because there isn't they're not getting as much attention there, and with the pavement management plan side, I'd like to talk about trying to expand on the Tide project to include islands with that triple coat as one of the components to that.
I don't think this is the appropriate place for that.
Why? We have a list of streets that would be included in the pavement management plan as part of this document. We're talking about how we're allocating these funds. It would seem to me like it's a perfect place to talk about getting it done.
Well, we're fiddling with the pavement management plan then, and that's beyond the scope of what we're doing right here.
No.
Yes, Rob.
What I would suggest is we evaluate the Tide project once it's completed and have a chance to look at it. If this is an appropriate technique, we will need to make modifications to our pavement management plan to include this technique in the plan, and then we bring that back to council at that time is what I would suggest is we make sure that this is going to be appropriate for our needs.
Could, if I can continue, could that be timed then with the actual allocation of the pavement management funds, if possible, for this upcoming year, so there's a potential to address that?
You're off the ledge here.
Back to this, the budget and streets and numbers, and here were we talking about street repairs, curbs, gutters, potholes, and sidewalk repairs. I would hate to see all that money put into just potholes. I realize potholes are an issue. We have them on our street. Everybody has them. They're filling them as best they can. But we also have some very, very dangerous sidewalks in this town, and I don't want to take all the money from sidewalks and put it into potholes.
And I think that we need to just cut this here, because we're talking about
right.
The budget. We're talking about numbers.
We need to keep this money in the budget.
If you don't like $170,000 in that, then let's talk about that.
But no, I like
about
it there.
Specific
not all of them have been done with that money we allocated last year, so now I see us allocating more money to that management plan. And I know there's been some questions in the past, too, some concerns from the Measure Q committee about those funds being used for things that should have been budgeted into our regular budget that are the part of the day-to-day business of that department. So I don't know, maybe Mr. Leivick can tell me why we didn't, the money hasn't all been used and we haven't finished doing those studies from last year.
We completed the waste load allocation management plan, submitted that to regional board. Regional board came back with comments. They want, of course, more, us to do more. What this money is intended to do is to build upon that work that we've already done and actually look at some best management practice we can actually construct to make changes to the bay. Examples, projects that we could look at would be revisiting the a BMP at the boat rinse-off station to construct something there to keep the pathogens out of the bay, to, I'm going to sound a little flippant, but my the best way to describe it is a wetlands in a box. It's you can put these stormwater treatment BMPs in the built environment. They can go in urban streets. They replace the landscaping. The stormwater flows through them, gets treated before it goes out. So these would be the BMPs that we would be looking at to evaluate as part of this program.
Right, but back to the question was that you didn't finish the stuff last year, so you have carryover money that still hasn't been used from last year's, right?
No, we don't have any carryover money
you
from...
Don't?
No, we don't.
Because when I was looking at the Measure Q, then maybe it hasn't all been allocated out.
We have some old carryover money from stormwater construction-related projects that we need to program, so the pipeline replacement projects.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You okay on Measure Q?
No, I mean, I'm guessing that Chief Pond left and that they aren't able to fund those SCBAs, which were $193,000, and I know that they're outdated, and that is their breathing tanks when they go into a confined space.
No, they don't need those. They don't need those.
They don't need those. No, you're right. They hold their breath.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's gone, and that's certainly, you know, more than double what this amount is, and I don't know if he's going to look at other grants. But that's really a safety issue that I'm very concerned about and that, you know, certainly would fall under appropriate Measure Q. But I guess that'll be a later discussion. So,
can you address that, Andrea, why that's not in here or what you know about
it? It didn't meet the it got difficult when we got down. I think we had over $2 million of Measure Q requests. I believe, and I want to if I'm remembering correctly, Chief Pond and I had a discussion about that, and I believe he is pursuing other grants for that equipment. I wouldn't bet my life on that. But I believe, sorry, because we've had a lot of discussions about budget lately, but I believe he's pursuing other grants with that because he's as well concerned. So I'll confirm that.
Okay, so what kind of a motion do you need now to wrap this up? Yes, Susan. Yeah, look at you. She raised her hand. Good.
I thought we were going to ask the same thing.
I still have two other issues with the budget to deal with, and one
I'm
of them...
I'm sorry, we're finished.
They're easy, though. They're easy.
You know, 8:10. It's late.
I know. One of them is the use of the COPS grant for 1 year for the police car leasing program, and then a permanent allocation for future years. And we don't know how much that money's going to be, and we would be able to bring that back with next year's Measure Q request. But I guess we want to get a feel from council about if it's okay to continue. Would you recommend a permanent allocation for the leasing program? And then also I need the approval for the additional $15,000 of PEG funds for the public services scanning project.
Where would the 15, let's just go there first. Where would the $15,000 come from?
From the PEG funds.
Yeah. So any problem with that? No. Okay, that's done.
Okay.
So we'll back up with the police car leasing program.
Mm-hmm.
You want us to approve? Can you give us a page? Can you tell us what we're looking at?
The police car leasing program is actually discussed on page 103. And oh no, I'm
screwed. 15.
The vehicle replacement money was put in by various departments, and that's yeah. Council absolutely can say we don't care. We're going to just let whoever have it. So then, in that case, we do have the money in our vehicle replacement fund to replace the two marked cars, and we can go there as well. And not deal with the leasing program. So then I would need something on that as well, if you want to do that.
So you're okay. Well, you're requesting the $16,000 a year for 3 years for the lease cars, and
right.
The other money for the unmarked cars.
Or it would be It would be 50, I think it would wind up being with all the equipment and everything else close to $70,000 for two marked cars out of the vehicle replacement funds.
Well, the leasing seems like a little better deal to me because they burn out in 3 years, right?
And it's a constant process. So as your lease expires, you can replace more cars, and you buy those for a dollar, feed them down into your volunteers, you get a new batch of leases, and it just keeps going.
Well, so it makes economic sense to me. That's what you like, Chief?
Well, if I could jump in, it's not as simple as that. The lease gives you the rolling stock, if you will. We then must allocate money to come up with for the light bars, the radios, all the emergency equipment that has to go onto it. So certainly get your foot in the door. The leasing programs really make good sense for plane cars, of which we would like to replace one. Not critical. But it is critical to replace the black and whites, only because, as Susan said, the trickle-down, we will take those two black and whites and make them our volunteer cars. We have two volunteer cars right now, and they're both ready to die, and it's not worth putting more money into them. So it's a little bit more cost-effective, if you will, that we actually, for purchasing two vehicles, we get four, if you will, because we're going to rotate those other two out there and use those, if that makes sense. If the money were there, the outright purchase of the black and whites would be my preference. Separate subject would be whether you wanted to entertain leasing on a plane vehicle. Again, we're willing to defer on the plane, in playing fair with everyone, but the black and whites are really critical. We're up to the mileage where we rotate them out.
And are you asking to lease them or buy them?
Buy them.
Buy them. Lease them, buy them. This is what I'm hearing.
I'll defer to the expert for it.
Okay. And I guess I should defer to my boss, but that would be my preference.
And you've got the $115,000 allocated, not allocated, identified in Measure Q that you're asking for, correct?
Yes, no. But it's
replacement fund.
Yeah.
Not Measure Q.
If what do we see on page 103?
It's on page A1. It's on the A1 list, which is not... The A list is the priority list, which is the $803,000. This is the secondary list.
Which is on page 103.
Right.
Mayor Yates.
Under A1. Yes.
May I?
You may.
The police vehicles were on the Measure Q list that all the departments put together. That list exceeded $2 million. Clearly, that wasn't going to happen. When we looked at the possibility, the cars moved down. Then we talked a little bit about vehicle replacement fund, and the thought from my standpoint was a little bit of a concern with allocating money from the vehicle replacement fund since all departments have contributed to that. Certainly something you can do. We've made that suggestion in the past and it hasn't gone very well, but certainly that is general fund money in the vehicle replacement fund. I think it's $127,000. It's available for these cars. The other option was the discussion about leasing, and leasing became attractive because it's fairly reasonable. We seem to replace police cars on a fairly regular basis. I believe the city of Aurora Grande has had pretty good experience with the leasing program. Chief Lewis does bring a good point that the leasing is available for the cars, but the equipment is additional. So my apology for a little odd presentation. It was not a last-minute addition, but clearly we weren't all on the same page. Certainly important to do. You have a couple of options. Maybe I made it clear, or maybe you're just doubly confused now.
Well, you know, I'm not clear on which is the most... We're charged with, you know, saving as much money as we can. What's the most economical, buying or purchasing? And that's, I'm going to go that way. You know, what makes the most financial sense for the city? But look, everybody's just staring at me, smiling. A legitimate question.
Buying because you own it. Like any vehicle, if you bought a vehicle versus leasing.
Lewis explained it very clearly to me that you're better off to buy them, because if you lease, you still have to pay for all the other gobbledygook that goes on it, the lights and the...
You're supportive of purchase.
I'm in supportive of buying the things with this money that we have.
George?
What it costs for a couple of horses.
They got them in New York City. I don't know why we couldn't have them here.
Well, we got a dog. I mean, anyway, my experience with leasing is just, I mean, I hate leasing. Every time I try to lease something, I always got stung on it.
You know, I think we've got four people here, but if you want to weigh in.
Sure, I'm not in favor of doing the unmarked vehicle at this time. The leasing doesn't sound like it's going to be cost-effective because of the equipment, but I'm really hesitant to go ahead and purchase both of these vehicles this year. Is there one that's in better shape than the other and we could defer?
They are both equally in need of replacing, if that's the right word. They're both running right around 93,000 miles. So both of them equally need replacing. But then again, part of the justification, again, is to replace the two volunteer vehicles, which will be going out of service.
As I see it, looking at the budget, the money is there this year to buy both of them. We need to replace the volunteer
vehicle, so I would move that we spend this money to buy
the two vehicles.
Which would be about 80?
I have a motion.
See you, Susan. Hang on.
Second with clarification.
Okay.
You know, now I'm reluctant to let you in. You understand the system, right? Once a motion, and then you become, you know, sorry.
They're going to come back with the budget, and I would second it with clarification that it's approximately $70,000 for two vehicles from the vehicle maintenance fund, which will leave approximately $57,000 out of the general fund.
Right.
It works for me. You know, whether it comes from SUQ or from vehicle replacement.
Well, it matters.
Yeah. Okay. All in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed? Did you vote?
I'm an aye.
It's an aye. 5-0. Okay, Susan, I'm very sorry to do that to you, but
yeah.
Too late now? Okay. Did you want to? I think we're done.
I have one more.
Hang on. Let's do Andrea first. She beat you. Yes, Andrea.
Thank you. I just want to confirm, did you also allocate the excess reserve of $73,000 to streets?
Not yet.
That's why I said I wanted to come back.
Okay. Carla.
Oh, the chief's back, so I wanted to...
Well, there he is. Look at him.
Were your ears burning when you were out of the room?
We were talking about you.
Always. The SCBAs. We don't want you to hold your breath.
Are you looking for some clarification on the SCBAs and that grant? Our SCBAs are getting toward the end of their life. They probably have 2 to 3 years left in them. We had an opportunity to apply for an Assistance to Firefighters grant for $204,000, and we made it way past when they had denied grants. It looked like it was a shoe-in, and at the last second they pulled it out. So we're not getting that this year. The BAs, we can extend their life another couple of years. We'll go back for that grant again probably in 2 years. In the meantime, we'll keep the ones we have operational. We did purchase several from San Luis City when they received a grant and moved to a different type of BA. We were able to get several that were newer than our models. So we've integrated those in to try and extend the life of ours. So at this moment, I think we're okay. We don't need to plan for that this year.
Thank you. I was going to ask about the rest of the excess emergency reserves, but also the general fund facility maintenance fund that we didn't talk about with his list of things.
Page number
107, which far exceeds the amount in that fund. And if you flip it over to 108, you'll see what was the 11-12 and that we're in debt already.
We're looking at you, Joe. So we're over budget on facility maintenance. Do you see it that way, Joe? Boy, let's look at each other. I just love it. You're on.
Yes, currently we are. We're anticipating future payments.
with the sale of that real estate. And so those are interest payments for the first 3 years, and I believe there's a balloon payment coming in. I'm working with finance as far as balancing this particular account. Certain items came up this fiscal year that were unforeseen, particularly the ones over at public services.
What's the first? We get payments each year of this amount now.
I remember where the money came from.
This is the second.
So when we get a payment from the sale of that building, will that balance this out?
No.
May I ask some questions about page 107?
You may.
All right. I see three upgrade HVAC energy efficiency. And then I see it again down here, now replace refrigerator energy efficiency. Is this just to upgrade because they're not modern and not energy efficient, or is it because they are in poor repair?
Right now they're functioning and they would be scheduled to be repaired. Right now they're at a SEER rating of about an 8, where a more efficient unit would be a SEER rating of about 14.
Would you explain what that's about?
It's just a matter of how efficient the unit runs as far as providing cooled or heated air when on demand. So how it utilizes the electricity and the natural gas to condition the air.
Okay, so they are working, just not... They're not energy efficient.
They're not energy efficient to today's standards. And right now, as a package deal, you have... We spent about $55,000 in lighting retrofitting for energy efficient LED lights. We have installed water efficient valves and sensoring units throughout the parks to save water through conservation. So we're trying to implement various utility savings throughout all of our building systems, and this is just one more component that would add to our comprehensive approach to lowering our fixed expenses on utilities. So the payback is not very sweet, but the overall package is something that we've been striving for, to lower your operating costs on an annual basis. Increasing revenues, dropping expenses is a solid part of our goal.
Okay, but they're still working at the moment. My other question, going down here, it's only a B priority, but Veterans Memorial Building site improvements, $12,000. What's still left to do? You've painted, you've planted.
We have about 5 dozen no smoking signs that'll be going up.
Oh, thank you. I do appreciate that remark.
Since your wall mural, we have a preliminary design to eliminate the turf in front of this building and improve the walkways to go off, branch off both sides of the main entrance, so that we give guests and then waiting visitors a place to sit down. Eliminating the turf will eliminate our water usage and our maintenance as well, and we would be adding flowers and various plants that were drought tolerant and more native to this area. So it would be outside turf elimination and landscaping upgrades.
I would ask that certainly he's not going to be able to do these things because it's over his budget, but I'd ask that this could come back and we could reassess the priorities as we did last year, because I would question the return on investment for the energy efficiency versus roof repairs and things, but I think that's a different conversation.
Yeah, I think, again, yeah, we're getting just like Noah. We're off in a thing here that's beyond our... That's okay. If we can forgive Noah, we can forgive Nancy. Okay, what's left?
The money, the excess. Emergency reserve, $73,000.
Is that the last thing?
Yes.
Streets? Streets? Nancy?
Street.
George?
Well, I'd like to bring up the point that we will have shortfalls next year. I'd like to see...
There's the mayor.
The comment was, it's not our problem, but it will be the community's problem.
It's a joke, Noah.
Okay. I take it pretty seriously, though, because we are going to be facing these same sort of shortfalls at the next budget cycle as well. So I'd like to hear Ms. Slayton's comments on that.
Why don't you ask Ms. Slayton a question?
I think the question...
What would this allocation mean to next year's budget cycle in regards to the likely loss of Dynegy funding?
With the loss of Dynegy funding, it means that you're not going to have any inflow into the reserves unless you have excess revenues over expenditures from the general fund. So you will have some interest earnings, but interest has been very low. And if you don't leave something in there, and you remember that your reserve is based on your expenditure budget. If your expenditure
all behind,
hats off to you,
all behind the reserve. But you know, I think it was 25% when we started, and it's kind of inched up to 27.5%. You know that there's, if you follow your argument and you just keep adding to it and adding to it, I mean it's, you know, there's almost $3 million that we're leaving the next council with, you know, a great cushion. I certainly think Ms. Slayton was towing the party line there. That's exactly what I want my finance director to say. Leave it in there. But I'm with Carla and Nancy. Put it to the street.
I would submit also that she's figured the sales tax at a flat rate, and so there's certainly to me a cushion there. You know what that difference is going to be. In regards to what I think it's going to be up. And if you don't want to use the whole thing, I'm fine with leaving a little bit, but I don't think we need to leave $73,000 there.
In addition to the sales tax, I think we can expect, based on projections, for our TOT to increase a lot more than we're showing in our budget. So I think there is a nice cushion there. I think we kind of got reamed on the streets this year, and I think we need to put as much as we possibly can into getting those streets done.
So I'm supporting the 71. Are you still with the 71? So we've got a majority here that's 73. 73. Do you need a motion? Well, I'm going to ask here, what kind of motion do you want now at this point?
We're coming back to you in June with a final budget document. So I think we've got some clear direction on all this.
Cool.
And
are there any lingering questions on anything with the budget from anybody?
I'd like to, and we already declared future agenda, so I guess I can't because I want to attach a timeline to the streets.
You may.
I want to attach a timeline to the streets that are next.
All right, we've got the timeline thing coming up. I will push for that for the next agenda.
Please.
We talked about that. Okay.
And then the...
It will be a timeline policy.
Timeline policy. Perfect.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Anything else from anybody? Anything else from anybody? We're adjourned. Thank you all very much. Thanks for all your effort on the budget. I know it was a lot of time and a lot of effort. And bravo.